and gentlemen, the Chicago Theater is proud to announce a first. The first time anywhere there's been an act of this nature. Not only one little lady, but two. You've read about them in the papers, and now here they are, Chicago's own.
Girls Night Out with Hannah Stanley on WGN.
Good Lord, Lemon.
Saturday night and we in the spot. Don't believe me, just watch.
What? Wait.
After this.
This is Girls Night Out and we're coming back?
I'm not going to make you listen to it, but I could.
Can I ask a question? What is the line of the scrimmage?
Honey, what? Why?
Why are you wearing a tux?
It's after six. What am I, a farmer?
You guys, that is the open for Girls Night Out. And I almost said Girls Night Out with Hannah Stanley, even though it's super early morning in with Hannah Stanley, filling in today for David Plyer. Happy to be here with you on what is now the 5th of July. Producer Rachel here with me as per her usual, and special in studio guest Michael Guerin from, frequent caller of the Girls Night Out program, but also intern extraordinaire. Robin Baumgartner called you the best intern ever.
Yeah, she did.
Which is high praise. You are a morning show intern.
I am over at WGN-TV.
WGN-TV.
Yeah.
As if people don't know who Robin is. But still, we appreciate the clarification. That is good. You were kind enough to reach out and say that you were interested in coming into shadow.
Yes.
And then I decided, oh, we'll do you one better. Not only will I have you come in and sit in throughout the night, but I will actually make you come up with a topic because I'm the daughter of a teacher and that's what we do. We push that onto others. So you've actually come up with a topic we're going to talk about between 3 and 3:30, which is this new news about Apple Music.
Mm-hmm.
And this is a new announcement. It's just launched and it's free for now.
Yeah, for the first 3 months, there's a free trial.
All right, so we're going to talk about that. And then the city of Chicago. Oh, people. City of Chicago is deciding to tax you yet again on your streaming. So not only are you paying for your internet service, but now you're going to be taxed on services like Netflix or databases that you might have to pull information from, definitely professionally. So this is a huge deal. So like I said, Michael's going to co-host with me from 3 to 3:30 and maybe longer. Who knows? He's more than welcome to chime in at any point. We are going to talk about words to eliminate to make you sound smarter. We're going to start now. I'm just not going to talk. You heard me also talking with Amy Guth earlier about the fact that I went Inside Out last night at the drive-in. So we can talk drive-in movie memories. There's 5 drive-in movie theaters left in the state of Illinois. 5, 2 of which are around here. Very, very close. Although all 5 of them are within the WGN listening area. So I want to hear your stories. That's going to be after the 4 o'clock hour. And of course, you guys can participate at any point, either by texting or calling. And that number is 312-981-7200. You know, I've posted this twice on Facebook and I want to talk about it one more time just because this is a point where a lot of people will be getting on the roads after some parties. Amy Guth posted early this morning. She posts every 4th of July that on the 4th of July, her cousin, who was 24 years old, was killed by a drunk driver many years ago. And it still hurts, as the loss of a family member always does. And so I do want to encourage anybody who is considering getting on the road at this point, if you've been drinking or imbibing any other substance for that matter, please do what you can to stay where you are or make other arrangements or just don't go anywhere. Even if you get in your car and sit, it is a safer choice than causing pain to your own family or those by harming someone else's loved one. So I saw the number. The state of Illinois is at 436 deaths this year. Highway deaths, which is roadway deaths, car vehicular deaths, 436. I know one of them And I think it would be absolutely splendid if we could get to December 31st at the same number. We are trending each year. We are trending down. I talk with IDOT regularly, and we dropped below 1,000 for the first time a couple of years ago. And at this point, because we're at the midway point in the year, 436, if we factor that out, we're going to be under 900, which is great, but it's still 900 too many. If it's one is too many, if it's your person or someone that you care about, cares about. So every life matters, and do what you can to protect those. And now I am I'm done with that soapbox. That soapbox is put away. This noise, that's my microphone. So if you hear that, it just merely means that I'm shifting or I'm very impassioned about what I'm talking about. I will tell you, as I frequently do, I have about 14 hours of prep for a 3-hour program, which is good because usually I have 8 hours for a 2-hour show. So I'm a little bit ahead of myself. So much to get to. We're going to start off, though, with a really, really cool program. Hayes Cleaning Service does a program, and we're going to talk to Mary from Hayes Cleaning Service next. They work with our veterans, and they provide free residential home cleaning. One free residential home cleaning for veterans. And I think it's spectacular, and I cannot wait to talk to her and get more information and make sure you guys who are so deserving, and by guys, I mean women and men, because our veterans, come from both genders, and they have for a very long time. So I do want, when I say guys, please don't think that I'm being, gender specific, but it is something that I want to make sure we get the information to you all about. And then, Michael, what else are we talking about?
We're talking about what some words about that you shouldn't be using.
Oh yeah,
in the
those
workplace that right. can make you sound not as smart.
There's one that's specific.
Yeah. Do we want to say it now?
No.
Okay.
And I'm actually really struggling with not saying it right now. The other one we're going to talk about is, did you see the 11-year-old girl who, like, three snaps in a Z formation with her boyfriend, who accused him on cheating on her? She's 11.
First, yeah, I was going to say 11 years old and in a relationship.
Why would you cheat on me? You said you loved me. But what's interesting is it's actually getting some backlash because it did get, I mean, it went viral.
Very fast.
Boom shakalaka.
Yeah.
And now it's getting some backlash about how she kind of cyberbullied him. Okay. I don't ever want this to happen. Mm-hmm. Inside out, I'm kind of Joy, right? I want everybody to be happy and get along. however, I know it does, and it's awful. But I feel like there is a risk of us saying bullying.
Yeah.
As more of a blanket term than it really is.
And I think the girl's mom is a little concerned about the negative attention that she's getting, that her daughter's getting. She told that to ABC News.
I loved that she stood up for herself. Yeah. And seriously, we have so much to talk about, but we are going to try to talk about this. And let's say we'll talk about this in 30 minutes. Okay, so 2:45, we're going to talk about this 11-year-old girl who really just owned the fact that she was going through this breakup.
Yes, she did. It was a quite powerful exchange for an 11-year-old. And her sister saw it and just posted online because, you know, her sister
because
was like,
she
good
was
for
proud
you.
Of her sister. Yeah. I know. This is really, really fantastic. And her sister took screenshots of this. Okay, first off, she's, how old was she? She's 11?
Yeah.
These texts went out at 9:50. I don't know if maybe that's when the sister took the screenshots or not, but I'm thinking, do 11-year-olds stay up this late? Maybe they do in the summer. I don't know. But I love that she posted these screenshots. It was fantastic. Here's what we're going to do. Hannah Stanley, Michael Guerin sitting in with me. It is WGN Radio. I am here until 5 a.m. Yeah, that's right. 5 a.m. filling in for David Plyer. I want to talk to you. 312-981-7200. But first, we're going to talk to Mary after the break. Next.
I just wanna be okay, be okay, be okay. I just wanna be okay today. I just wanna be okay, be okay, be okay. I just wanna be okay today.
Hannah, Janice Stanley filling in tonight for David Plyer, and happy to be with you all. I'm thrilled that Michael Guerin gets to sit in with me. You are an intern for the TV news.
Yes.
And you reached out to me several weeks ago and then reached out again and asked if you could come in and sit in. And I said, of course. Of course you can. Not everybody. It's very special people. But anyway.
Thank you for having me.
Of course.
It's an honor to be on these call letters. That's
you know what?
We were talking about that when I met up with you at that Walk of Fame.
Yes. And you know I feel exactly the same way about it. And you walked in with me a couple hours ago, and you saw me do something, which was...
Yes. You brushed the name of...
My grandfather.
Your grandfather.
Yeah, I brushed it on the plaque. It's going to look like Lincoln's nose pretty soon.
What did he do here?
He was news director at kind of the pinnacle of his career. He was news director of radio and television at the same time.
Oh, wow.
Yeah. So what is interesting about this building in particular, Colonel McCormick, who was the big guy here, founded and created this building. And the reason we have the different stones that are in this building is Colonel McCormick charged his reporters with bringing these items back. And so they were all incorporated. So when you walk by the Tribune Tower and you see something from the Taj Mahal, it's legitimately a stone from the Taj Mahal.
The moon rock, too.
Isn't
that right in the lobby there?
Yeah.
That one I don't think was from a Tribune reporter, but that
likely,
was insane.
Likely not. But if the colonel could have made it happen, it would have.
Yeah.
But, you know, when you say Colonel McCormick, I think a lot of people forget the military focus. And the reason that he was called Colonel was because of his World War One experience. And the plaque that I touched was actually employees who served in World War II. The plaque that's right outside of this tower, of this door, on this side of the elevator bay, is the plaque from World War One, and the ones that have stars next to them didn't return. My grandfather luckily did. However, someone who feels as passionately as I do about our veterans is Mary. Mary James, you are with Hayes Cleaning Service, and you have the most amazing program that you and I talked earlier today, and I love it. It's called Helping Our Heroes.
Thanks a lot. You know what? It's just so exciting to be able to give back. My husband's a Vietnam veteran, and as we were in the process of attempting to get him eligible for disability pensions, we found it many, many years because we kept having to appeal one appeal after another, and we were in appeal process for just about 6 years before we actually received the entitlement to his benefits.
Wow.
All the people that were there in those years of our life and living are the reason and the cause that my husband and I now can be able to thank people and pay it forward. Roberts Road Bible Church stepped up and helped us with different obligations or financial responsibilities. They filled the whole backseat of our car with groceries and non-perishable foods. We had different places in the community that supported our utilities when we needed it. And the biggest thing is the people. It's amazing just how exciting it is that when you ask God for people and help, that it's there for you. It really is.
You know what? It's a program I do want to mention as well, because it's so like-minded, is the Veterans Legal Support Center, which is out of John Marshall Law School. And it is free legal support for our veterans. And so often it is based on their VA claims and needing help to go through those appeals. So for those who are looking for assistance, you can Google Veterans Legal Support Center, John Marshall Law School. And it's as simple as that. If you have served, you have access to free legal help. And likely, like that, in the same manner, Hayes Cleaning, and the website is Hayes, H-A-Y-S, cleaning.com. Mary, you are able to offer to give back, as you mentioned, especially at this time when so many of us are thinking of our military and our veterans and what they have done and given up, as you know, as a wife, a military wife. This is something that you're offering, a residential cleaning for free, a 3-hour residential cleaning for our military.
Yeah, you know what? It's a mere pittance, only 3 hours, but it's us wanting to say thank you and provide a service, something that we can do for what they did for us. And, you know, Kieran Hoagland, he actually designed our webpage for us as a gift to help us out also amongst all the other gifts. We've had our Hayes Cleaning. It's been in business now 36 years, and about 15 years ago when we were going through the difficult struggles, not knowing if we were even going to keep our doors open, we had some of our own family members stepped up and made a point in making sure that our doors weren't going to close. And just amazing that we are now prospering 36 years. So this is Hayes Cleaning wanting to pay forward, and what we're offering is 3 free complimentary hours of service to our veterans or their immediate families. And if I understand correctly, Hannah, you have many veterans in your own family yourself, don't you?
I do. Actually, I have family members who were wounded at Gettysburg. So, I mean, we go all the way back to the Civil War. But yes, very, very many, including my grandfather who worked here. The reason his name is on the plaque is he served in World War II.
Well, that just takes my breath away. It's exciting to be able to know, you know, family that's been able to help us out all along. And I admire the strength and the courage that your own family has every day. I didn't know the difficulty it is for our veterans as much as I've always had gratitude and been thankful all my life until I lived with a veteran. And, you know, for all you men and women out there and your families out there that don't know, it's different. And nobody comes back the same.
No, and you know what? I think I'm really, really appreciative of how much awareness there is now for this and what our veterans, while it is still very unspoken and very hidden, and they try to, you know, be proud, even though I feel like it demonstrates a lot of courage to explain that they're having difficulties. The fact that we are aware that these men and women are not coming back the same and we can do our best to get them help or provide some help or just be understanding is so very important. My dad has told the story that my grandfather, my grandma would be getting breakfast ready in the morning and she would be tired and she would say, "Dad flew combat last night," and he would be up. You know, he would be having dreams of still flying combat, and he was a bombardier pilot, and he'd be shouting out his crew members' names and giving instructions, and that stuff did never go away, and years and years and decades later. So this is something that more and more of our service members are living, which is fantastic. I mean, the advances we've made in battlefield medicine and injury prevention and injury treatment is fantastic, but now we're dealing with a whole different set of recovery tactics because of what they're coming home with.
Yeah, you know what? Something else to that, the men and women that came home from the Vietnam War, they still aren't welcomed home. And
right.
when they came home, and I know my husband, who I didn't even know at that time, I got to believe that he kissed the ground that he walked on when he got picked to the United States of America. But you know what? There was nobody there to greet him. And
you're absolutely right. It was a very different time. And so I think a lot of that has been, people have been trying to fix that and right that wrong. But you're absolutely right. It's not how it is now and how it used to be, even before that, during World War I and World War II, where they were definitely welcomed home as heroes. Even World War II, they came home, they just had to get back to work because it was, you know, it was just something they did. That was that whole generation. That's what they did. They just came home, went back to work. However, I do want to make sure we give out this website because I love what you're doing, Mary. This company, as I mentioned, it's Hayes Cleaning, H-A-Y-S, cleaning.com. However, you can go straight to this website, helping-our, O-U-R, Heroes with an E, spell it properly, people, .com, helping-our-heroes.com. I will make sure that this is up on my Facebook page, which is the Girls Night Out page, WGN Girls Night Out on Facebook as well, so that people can find it. And then, Mary, you're doing this through the end of July?
Yes, we are. We're taking calls through the end of July. We have this event actually twice a year, from Memorial Day through the end of July, and then we'll have it again on Veterans Day through Christmas, and that's just a service that we've been doing for the last several years, and as long as God keeps our doors open at Hayes Cleaning, we intend to be able to provide this.
All right. Veterans Day, of course, 11/11, what a appropriate time of year to offer that service, helping-our-heroes.com. I love that you guys are doing this. And is there a service area that you need to stick to, or is it...
I'm glad that you asked. We're actually located in downtown Hickory Hills, and our zip code is 60457. We will go at least up to 15 miles from our home base here. Granted, if there's jobs that people have additional hours and would like to get the 3 hours also, we will exceed that perimeter.
Okay. So it does, that makes sense.
Yeah.
I mean, we can't ask you to go to Peoria. I mean, I get it. There's some limits, people.
Sorry if you got 20 hours of work.
And then they'll just take three off the top. That's fine.
Yeah.
All right. I absolutely adore that you're doing this, Mary. And you and I had such a nice conversation earlier. I was happy to have been able to spend a portion of my Independence Day talking with you, learning about your company and your focus. I thank your husband for his service. I can't thank people enough for their service. So please pass that on to him, because I'm guessing he's not awake. and I appreciate you staying up to share with us your project.
Anna, thank you for your time, and I think that you and your family are also, I count them amongst my blessings.
Oh, you are, I know, isn't she the greatest?
Yeah, yeah.
All right, Mary, I'm going to make sure that this information is up, and I link to your site as well. You have a great night, and I will talk to you soon, I hope.
Thanks, take care.
Okay, bye-bye. Hannah Stanley here again at that website, helping-our-heroes.com. As I mentioned, I will get that up during the news on my Facebook page. We're going to go to the break, and then we'll come right back with news after this. Hannah Stanley, how are you guys? I'm filling in tonight for Dave Plyer. This is WGN Radio. It's kind of weird to reprogram myself to not say Girls Night Out, because that's what I usually say. Michael Guerin, you have heard him as a caller. You've heard me talk about him. He is an intern with the WGN award-winning Morning News. They've won awards, right?
They've won awards. They're okay, must-watch Morning News.
I think so.
Pretty good in the ratings.
I don't know. I just know.
And they're hilarious.
They're hilarious.
Yeah.
Super hilarious. Here is something that is absolutely not hilarious, though, is the crime that is going on in the city. And unfortunately, this is a really historically a challenging weekend, not only for the crime rates, but also for our men and women who are our first responders. On the phone right now, we have Richard Wooten, who is the crime agitator, I think, which I love because he instigates crime. No, you do not. Richard, thank you for calling in. How are you?
I'm great. How are you today, Hannah?
Good. Happy Independence Day later. Whenever I do these overnight shifts, I get all screwed up because in my mind it's still Saturday because I'm still awake. So I appreciate you. Okay, good. I appreciate you staying up for all of us to share your knowledge. How has this weekend been so far? It's been kind of an extended weekend, even though the holiday was yesterday on Saturday, but a lot of people had Friday off. How's it comparing to last 4th of July weekend?
Well, you know, compared to last 4th of July weekend, we do see that the numbers are down. But, you know, again, this is Chicago. Anything can happen at a moment's notice. We've been working over 12-hour shifts for the past couple of days, and, you know, it's very exhausting. But as I'm talking to you now, I can still hear the fireworks going off in the community here. So people are still very actively involved with celebrating. That's what they want to call it. But they're not actually celebrating. They're actually committing crimes, as we all know.
Right.
We have to be very cautious because some people take the holiday and they turn into their advantage to commit crimes.
Because people are clearly not at home. They're out at fireworks displays, et cetera.
Mm-hmm. Okay. Yes, exactly. You know, ever since the weekend began, we're sitting right now roughly around five people that have been fatally shot and seven others wounded in the city here. And that's just the first 2 days of the weekend, of the holiday weekend. So we still have some ways to go. We're looking at, you know, this morning all the way into Monday morning. So we're hoping that the 12-hour days that the police department is working us, you know, is having some type of impact compared to last year's, you know, horrible, you know, rate that we had last year.
Yeah, it was. Last year was record setting, which is, these are not good records. Now, with the police, and please tell me if I'm incorrect, but haven't they increased the foot patrol officers?
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
Yes. Yes. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Well, you know, I mean, I'm relaxed. I'm working on my 24th year with the police department now, and for the past 2 days, I've worked over a total of 24 hours. So, you know, it's really a lot, you know, on the officers to be out here working that long,
mm-hmm.
Especially dealing with the type of responses that we have to deal with. You know, it's just cost of services has increased during the weekend. And, you know, we're running around, you know, just dealing with, you know, the madness out here. But unfortunately, again, like I said, you know, we are overworked. But at the same time, we have to do what we have to do in order to make sure that we have a safe community.
Without question, you guys live here as well. Tell me, obviously, the city has a problem with gun violence, weapons in general. But do other crimes increase during this week as far as, I mean, domestics or public intoxication, I'm just sort of assuming. We've got a Grateful Dead show in town. But what else increases?
Well, you know, I mean, like I said earlier, you know, the shootings and everything, you know, are kind of down a little bit.
Mm-hmm.
So therefore, the crime has escalated into the homes. So now we're actually finding ourselves responding to more domestic-related incidents. You know, yeah, battery is one of the biggest things. You know, there's a lot of fights going on in the city. In homes, rather, as well as on the street. We're receiving more calls of robberies, you know, burglaries. You know, those type of calls are actually really, you know, kind of like resonating compared to where we were before. So those are mostly the calls that we're getting out here, is more domestic-related and more individual crimes that are actually taking place, where people awareness levels are down. They're not paying attention to what's going on around them. They're being victims of, you know, crimes that could be avoided if they just pay more attention to their surroundings. We are truly, you know, in high gear right now,
mm-hmm.
I should say, and
high alert. Types. Yes.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Well,
you
know, now domestics can. Obviously, they're a high-tension situation for everyone involved, but they can be really risky for the first responders. Tell me what you guys expect or would at least hope for when you would come into that situation.
Well, you know, as a first responder, you have to go in with an open mind that, you know, anything can happen at a drop of a dime. Because when you go into a situation where domestic has escalated and someone has called the police, when the police arrives, the whole scenario changes up,
mm-hmm.
because now we as the police have to take action and restore peace. But unfortunately, what you have is the offender is upset now because the victim has called the police, and sometimes the offender is actually the breadwinner of the house.
Oh.
And the victim is pretty much either one, afraid, that if this person goes to jail, they're going to become more abusive when they do come back home, or two, they're not going to be able to make it without this person. So therefore, when the police have to intervene and then take action, now all of a sudden the victim begins to turn on the police. So, you know, you're in a position to where you got to kind of like always watch your back, but you have to make some smart decisions on how you're going to handle each situation. Now, each situation, you know, I always learned that all domestics are not always the same, because people's personality is not always the same. You're going to, you know, maybe have the same type of call, but the outcome may be different.
Okay.
People are very resistant to the police nowadays.
Mm-hmm.
So therefore, you're going to have times where you're going to have to actually fight in order to make an arrest. And I always tell people, I say, you know, there's four things you really don't want to do with the police. One, don't challenge the police, because when we come on the scene, we're on the scene because, one, someone called us here. We don't know what's going on. Two, we just actually happen to stumble across this incident, and we still don't know what's going on. So therefore, it's our job to actually reestablish peace, to find out exactly what's going on, so we can actually apply the proper remedy to make this situation kind of like fade away. Second thing, don't run from the police. We're trained to actually observe, you know, quick movements. So we're looking at a person's hands, we're looking at a person's body language, and a person run from us, it's automatically like, okay, why are they running? They must have done something. So
Right.
Here we are chasing. And then the third thing we always say is don't touch the police. Don't get into a confrontation with them, because the police is just trying to do a job at that moment. If a person is able to actually just kind of like allow the officer to do what they're programmed to do. And again, I say program because these are things that we're trained and things that we learn on the job as we go on. So we're programmed to do a specific thing. Let us go ahead and do what we're programmed to do. So then at the end of that program, we can make a decision on whether or not an arrest needs to be made, or whether or not paperwork needs to be generated, or maybe nothing needs to be done at all.
Right, because diffusing a situation where everybody can go home calmly and happily and without committing crimes is really ideal.
Exactly. That's the best way to do it. Now, that's the way we would love to see it happen. But unfortunately, you know, one of the other two elements actually kicks in, which means that now we have to take additional action. And then, you know, then another thing that people have to understand, can actually feel free to do to help alleviate, you know, getting into a confrontation is that, one, always observe the police officer's badge number. Observe the plate, I mean, the vehicle number on the car. Those things are traceable, okay? It can always take you right back to that officer that you're talking to right there. So you don't have to actually get into a situation at that point in time with that officer, because basically, you know, you may not win that battle.
Mm-hmm.
And if you're not trying to win that battle, if you're just trying to, you know, get respect, make sure that you have peace and, you know, move on, just take those elements and then you take it back to a station and you talk to a supervisor with it. And then let the department actually reprimand and deal with that officer at a later time. Because when you're on the street with that officer, the officer in their mind, right, they already see certain things that they're doing and they think they're doing it the way it's supposed to be done. And just let them go through the process, you know. We just have to learn how to actually begin to communicate better and learn how to deal with the police better, because we're looking for criminals out here. And we know that everybody's not a criminal, but how do you actually categorize, or how do a criminal really look?
Right, you know, exactly. Well, mm-hmm. and you, like I said, have to always be on the defensive, because you don't mm-hmm. know who the criminal is. And we understand many of these neighborhoods and families and people have negative connotations. They've seen things on the news. They've experienced themselves. But as you mentioned, the more logically they can deal with this, the better off mm-hmm. it's going to be. Notating the badge number, notating the car number, the time and date that this happened. And then you can file a report. And you know what? I understand people. There are people who are going to say, well, that's not going to happen. They're not going to do anything to reprimand that officer. Well, but okay, even if they don't, which I get, you want justice, but even if they don't and the officer really did do something that was wrong, it's still better than getting into a conflict that can escalate and then you get arrested or there's violence that erupts from that.
You're absolutely right, Hannah. You know, I mean, I see it all the time. Like I said, you know, 23 years, going into my 24th year in this here profession, you know, 98% of the people that I've actually dealt with, you know, we've always left with a, you know, a good, clear understanding. Is always the 2% that actually gets out of hand and, you know, leads you into a new direction. But Chicago is one of those unique cities where the citizens of the city really dictate how the police officer is going to do their job. So I applaud the people for, you know, the fourth so far as they've been very well behaved. They was able to actually handle their business and not really give the police department or police officers that, you know, that attitude, that resistance. So things is kind of like smoothing out. But, you know, I did the public safety announcement asking people just to stay home and celebrate. This is Independence Day. We want to make sure that, you know, we practice, you know, safety in our homes with our kids, ensuring that, you know, they're not participating with the fireworks that's going on in the community. So it seemed like a lot of people actually, you know, did that this year. You know, Chicago had a lot of things going on. The Grateful Dead concert, the
both baseball teams. Yep.
Yeah, I mean, it was just so much going on this weekend that, you know, these numbers that we're looking at right now could have actually really realistically been much higher than what it is. But people actually took to heart that, you know, they wanted a safe weekend, and they took it and they made it safe for themselves. So we just really, as a police department, lead by, you know, the community's participation in the in society. So as they actually took and really made this a safe community, I mean, a safe time for themselves, the police department had a little bit, you know, easier job, I should say, this weekend so far. It's not over, but so far we've been doing, you know, we've been very appreciative of how the citizens have, you know, kind of took hold of the city.
They've helped you help them. This is, when you guys say it was an easier weekend, it means it was only like 8 on the stress level instead of a normal 10 to 12. A couple final questions. There have been reports of people in celebration of the 4th of July shooting guns, and they do this on New Year's Eve as well, shooting guns into the air. Is this something that still happens? Because those bullets come down, people.
Yeah, Hannah, you know, this is one of the major things. Like I said, you know, you have that small percentage that actually commits crime in this celebration. So they're not really celebrating. They're actually committing crime. Mm-hmm. So this is their way of actually intervening or coming, you know, blending in to a time that it was supposed to be for celebration for them to commit their crime and do the things that they desire to do. And that's create havoc. So we've get a lot of calls of, you know, shots fired, but come to find out they're just fireworks. So it's like, you know, the little boy, the crab wolf, you know, when is it actually going to be real?
Mm-hmm.
So we have to actually answer each call as if it is shots fired.
Sure, because you don't know.
You don't know. So what that does is bring down the manpower. Because now we're responding to a call that is not necessarily really a bogus call, but we don't know, nor do the person who called it in know it's a bogus call until we get there. So,
in some of these neighborhoods, normally when they hear those noises, it is in fact shots fired. So they don't necessarily know the difference either.
You're absolutely right. So we have to actually respond to it. And, you know, luckily, you know, we do actually retrieve, you know, individuals and make arrests, you know, for those unlawful use of a weapon incidents. But, you know, just like any day in Chicago, you know, you're going to get those individuals that's going to try to take a worthwhile event and hide behind it and create havoc in it. So we just want to make sure that we maintain a safe community and we look out for those individuals that's trying to ruin our good day. And just, you know, I ask this community, point them out, you know, because they don't care about your event. So why should you care about them and, you know, going to jail? So point them out. Let people know that, hey, these guys are doing wrong. These are the ones who's making our day or our situation bad. So let's go ahead and, you know, become free again. And let's make sure that we can alleviate all the havoc. So we just want to make sure that we continue on doing what we do through my non-for-profit organization called Gathering Point Community Council. You know, which is where the crime agitator comes out of. You know, this is a name that people just kind of like identify me as, you know, because we're always talking about crime. We're always talking about, you know, pointing out, you know, the evildoers in the community. We have young people that's actually involved also. This summer we're looking at getting them more engaged in identifying crime in the community and sharing safety tips with people in community meetings. One of the things that I've learned is that people in the community, they don't feel that our young people are aware or even care about what's going on in the community. Well, you know, I want to enlist more young people so we can go out and they can go out and show the people that, hey, we care about what's going on in our community. This is what's going on, and this is how you be how you can be safe when you're walking down the street. You know, we understand that our peers are out here, you know, stealing cell phones, robbing people. So from me to you all, this is how you can avoid, you know, them individuals who we call our peers. Mm-hmm. So it's an opportunity where young people begin to shine and begin to build a bridge with the older people in the community, especially our seniors, to try to help them become safe as well in their community. And we're looking forward to actually making this here, you know, even bigger, because we are working on a program right now, a community watch program called Eyes Witness, where we're trying to engage people in the community to become more vigilant about identifying and reporting individuals that are actually on the corner selling drugs, people that you know is out there shooting, you know, individuals that's caused your community havoc. We want to actually put them on blast. So we are actually recruiting agents also to work in their community so we can train them to become, neighborhood watch advocates. And they're going to be very actively involved. You know, they can report anonymously, so no one will ever know that this person's an eyewitness agent. So all that, you know, is that.
That's so key, because in these neighborhoods, everyone is fearful of retribution. This is what I've been told. No one talks because they're worried about somebody else coming back and saying, oh, he's the snitch. Anonymously have that relationship with the officers in your community and get those people away from you so they can't come back and harm you.
Exactly. You know, now I'm scheduled to retire from the police department August the 15th. So I'm looking at pushing this here thing full blast to get more community people involved and to get our young people involved, because, you know, anonymously, you know, just reporting, we have covert camera systems that people are wearing right now, and nobody even know they're wearing it. And we're getting recordings from off the streets of people committing crimes. And when people were actually, they were bringing it back into the office, I was like, you know what? We have to create a system so we can actually post this, and then the police departments can see this. So that way they can actually start investigations. People in the neighborhood can feel safer because now they know what's going on in the neighborhood, and they can avoid actually going in this area because they know this area is a high crime area. So which we're working real hard, you know, to put all this stuff together. And hopefully by the, somewhere along the summer, we'll have everything laid out, and we'll continue to give our safety tips out, and we'll continue to have our young people out here, working in the communities, talking to the people, and just sharing, success of having a safe neighborhood.
All right. This organization you're talking about is Gathering Point Community Council. Richard Wooten, I do want, as sort of a final question, I understand that the gun violence in our city is horrible, and it is the story. However, drunk driving, I do have to ask, how are our numbers? Is this still a tremendous systemic issue?
Drunk driving has always been an issue. Chicago is a big partying place. We are partying place without any really regulations behind the scenes. But, you know, until we began to start shutting down the clubs and everything at a decent time of the night, you know, getting people off the street, you know, we're always going to have this problem with drunk driving. I mean, when I was a kid coming up, you know, everything was closed at 10 o'clock.
Mm-hmm.
You know, the club closed at 12 o'clock. That was the latest everything was open. Now you have, you know, clubs open until
4 o'clock
in the morning, 4 o'clock. Yeah. You know, and, you know, realistically, you know, why do those places need to be open that late? If a person want to drink late at night, why not drink comfortably, you know, in the comforts of your own home?
Sure.
And then you can just go to sleep right there at home. So,
or on your friend's couch. Yeah.
Right. Exactly. You know, you don't have to worry about, you know, causing harm to other people. But those are some of the things that our lawmakers need to be looking at, kind of reverting back to, you know, the days of the past where it actually worked. with drunk drivers wasn't driving on the street at 2 or 3 o'clock in the morning because nothing was open at 2 or 3 o'clock in the morning. So, you know, until we actually have our legislators actually take a more proactive approach in it, you know, we're going to continue to have this type of scenario out here.
All right, Richard Wooten, Chicago police officer. I want to early congratulate you on a career here with the Chicago Police Department. My brother is on the job, not with CPD, with another risky force. So I appreciate your work and what your family has gone through. All forces are risky, by the way, even in the nicest little quietest town in the world. I do appreciate our first responders as much as the next person and sometimes even more. He was working today. He was not with us today because he was on the job. So Richard, Gathering Point Community Council, is it, what's that website?
Well, it's Gathering Point, GatheringPointCC.org.
CC.org. Again, I will put that up at my Facebook page, which is WGN Girls Night Out with Hannah Stanley, even though this is the David Plyer show I'm filling in for. Richard Wooten, again, thank you for your service to our community and all the work you've got ahead of you to make us safer and really just to have us work together as a solid people instead of individuals. I appreciate that.
Thanks.
All right, you have a great night. Thanks for your call. Hannah Stanley here on WGN filling in for David Plyer. More after this. We'll be back right after this for the news. See how that works? All right, more after this.
Nice to meet you. Where you been? I could show you incredible things. Magic, madness, heaven, sin. Saw you there and I thought...
All right, this is supposed to be Taylor Swift. Just pretend it's Taylor Swift. It's a remix.
Oh.
Rachel, you're in charge with We're Never, Ever, Ever Getting Back Together. You got to find that in the next 30 seconds. All right. Hannah Stanley here. We are talking right now, and there's a reason why Taylor Swift's music, because she wrote that, was just played. Michael Guerin is joining me. He is the most famous intern in Chicago right now.
You're really boosting my ego at 3 in the morning.
Hey, both listeners are very impressed with you. I know there's more.
And both of them.
Yeah, because you taught him how to stream, which is precious.
Yeah.
There's more of you than two, and I thank all five of you, but you are an intern for the WGN Morning News, which is impressive in its own right. And then you are smart enough to listen to me regularly, which I love. I really do appreciate it. And reached out and asked if you could come in and observe. And then I charged you with creating content.
Yeah.
So you did. You did this great thing and came up with this really, really, a story I didn't even know about. I sort of, it was like on the fringe of my radar, but I hadn't yet dedicated, bandwidth to it, which is kind of ironic. I'm using these terms because that's essentially what I'm talking about. But Apple Music just launched.
Yeah. And you're not the only one that didn't really know this was coming.
It's
kind of a surprise. Yeah. People in like the tech industry knew that Apple was launching this new music project. I mean, that's what Apple's been kind of known for in the past decade with the iPod. I mean, that revolutionized music.
Sure.
And so this is a new shift.
And I think Thursday was the 7-year anniversary of iPhone.
Yeah, I think it was the iPhone.
Seven years?
I remember when the first one came out. That was incredible.
But
that's revolutionized.
But it doesn't feel like just 7 years. It feels like we've had it for 20.
Oh, yeah.
I mean, everything is different. You know, it really is. I mean, obviously I can. I lived a good portion of my life without when I was like 35 when it came out. But it, you can. You're way too young. But it really has evolved. I mean, I still get to the point where we go, what is, like, well, who played that? Mm-hmm. Like, who was that actress? And we kind of sit there and contemplate this. And I'm like, wait a second, world at my fingertips. So I still have to think, oh, I can find that out now.
Yeah.
Traveling down the highway. Not when I'm driving.
No,
I don't do that.
Absolutely.
But
not
as a passenger, we don't have to have these questions and arguments anymore.
No.
Discussions. We can just Google it via our phone. So Apple Music, because we all have iTunes on our phone that comes preloaded, those of us, and even Androids have their own version of this.
Yeah.
But Apple specifically has launched Apple Music, and for the next, what, 90 days, it's free.
Yeah, the next 3 months, it's a free trial. It's when you start it. So, it, you know, if people don't start it for another month, it's the first 3 months are free. Mm-hmm. And you can't start it till it's going to be forced on everyone's iPhone or Apple device because they all everyone got a software update or have been told they have a software update.
Okay.
So once they update it, it's on their phone. So they
it's
have
on their
to,
phone, but you don't have to subscribe.
You don't have to subscribe. Phew. However, it's pretty hard to hit the find the no thanks button, which, you know, that's by design. They want people to try the free trial.
On page 36 of their user agreement, they're all like, whatever. Yeah, sure, I read it.
Yeah.
So I still have the ability then to go into my iTunes and listen to my music library for free.
Yeah, yeah. Your music library is the same. One feature they added that's free before we get into the paid portion is they launched an internet radio station called Beats One. Beats is a brand of headphones by Dr. Dre.
Dr. Dre, and they
Apple bought Beats
for like a gazillion dollars.
And so now there's a Beats radio that it's only been on for 2-3 days now, or I think we're going into the third day now. It's interesting. The music is very, very different than what you'd hear on, you know, a station out here in Chicago, a top, you know, 20 station.
But they do have DJs.
They do have DJs. It's live, which is not like a Pandora or, you know, any.
Essentially just digital music streaming.
Yeah. This is actual DJs picking the songs. And so that will be free as well to anyone. You don't have to pay for this service.
All right. One of the things I love about Pandora, and Pandora is also free.
Yeah.
They have a subscription service that allows you to not have ads, I believe.
Yeah, I think that's what it is.
I used to listen to, when I worked full-time at a desk, which is very different than what I do now. But I was able to listen to Pandora.
Yeah.
And if you didn't like the song, you just X'd out and it stopped. And that was one of the things that you would lose listening to a music station or maybe even this Beats, because it's a live music and they're choosing the songs and the playlist. I then can't skip.
Yeah. And that's where, so there's kind of big three contenders in this area, I would say. There's Pandora, but it's kind of different than the other two. And then there's Spotify and this Apple Music now. And Spotify is nice because they curate playlists that are kind of free, whatever mood you're in. It could be you need a mood boost, you're happy, you're sad, you're having a party. They've had a couple, you know, 4th of July ones this weekend. And what's nice about that is there's probably 40, 50 songs in there that they curate. They have staffs that go through music and pick the best ones.
A lot of Sousa marches, things like that.
But you can skip them.
Okay.
And so then you can kind of select how you want it to go. So you can still do
that. So it's digital, much like Pandora.
Yes.
So you can just pop through it.
It is, yeah. And so what Apple
I've never liked John Philip Sousa. Ta-da! Okay.
Okay. So are we going to play that?
No.
That coming up?
No, I really do like John Philip Sousa, but I'm just saying someone might not.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. So we...
As if I'm worried about offending his, like...
Yeah. It's 3:11 a.m.
Yeah.
No one's
worried about me offending the heritage of gentleman.
Except, of course, this will probably be podcasted. So then, you know, it is digital.
So then his family could listen. No, I really do. Okay.
Yeah. So anyway, Apple Music is what it's going to do is, let's say you have a song that you're trying to think of right now. You want to play on the spot. You can just type it in. You don't have to buy the song. It's right there and it's ready to stream. So it's all in the cloud. Every song that iTunes or Apple has. So
everything except for Garth Brooks.
Yeah.
Because aren't the Beatles now even on
iTunes?
The
Beatles are on iTunes, but they're not on like Spotify. And Taylor Swift's not on Spotify. And we'll talk about why in a little bit.
No, now. Let's talk about it now. Because that was a huge coup for Apple. And this is the only reason I knew that this was even going on was because Taylor Swift got involved.
That's what happened. So it was, you know, people in the tech industry knew Apple Music was coming. And then Taylor Swift wrote this blog post on Tumblr, which is a blogging site. Mm-hmm. She wrote an open letter to Apple about why, during this 3 free months, artists were not getting paid for the streaming. And she wrote a letter that was I thought it was nicely written because it talked about, you know, how appreciative and how innovative Apple is. But they missed the mark on this one. And she wasn't talking about for herself because she's making, you know, boatloads of money. And I mean, I can't even
yacht loads of money.
Can't even imagine how much. But she's talking about for those people that are starting up, the singer-songwriters, this is their first.
And primarily it's the songwriters,
yeah,
because the singers are not making that much in royalties.
Yeah.
It's the songwriters, mm-hmm, because they're not getting paid to go out on tour.
Yeah.
I mean, so it's the songwriters
and the producers.
Right. And so she wrote it to Apple. She, mm-hmm, or one of her people wrote this letter to, yeah, Apple. But so then why did she choose to go on Apple and not on Spotify?
Yeah, I don't know about that. She didn't go on Spotify because they were not paying correct. I think the amounts that
they weren't in vogue with Taylor, yeah, Swift's.
Yeah, and she, okay, just pulled out of it. I think she didn't. She had music on there when her new album came out. She just said she's not even putting that on there, and she's pulling the rest of her music off.
All right. And so what that did was took everybody from the ages of 12 to 20, mm-hmm, and went, well, obviously,
including
Apple Music,
myself.
Right.
I was upset.
Clearly, you want to be on Apple because you want to listen to the new Tay Tay album.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, except I like Spotify better, but...
But you've only had access to Apple Music for like 3 days.
I have, yeah. And it's a little buggy right now. And I think that's, you know, something Apple's good at fixing pretty fast. But I guess, so what she was going...
Just spray some pesticide on that. It's an Apple, for God's sake.
Yeah.
All right.
Yeah.
So Taylor Swift is that powerful.
She is. And so what she did was she got Apple to reverse their decision about this paying for the first 3 months to... artists,
well,
songwriters.
I mean, you really don't want to coup in that demographic.
Absolutely not. No.
People
and people were crazy about it. You know, on social media, they were sending Apple, you know,
how
messages.
Quickly between her letter and the reversal? I mean, was it hours or a day?
It was a couple of days. It was pretty,
wow,
fast. And it turned out what started was a PR nightmare for Apple, you know?
Yeah.
And it turned into their quick response that they negotiated. It became now people knew Apple Music was coming because of it, and now, mm-hmm, more positive light. And then it got more artists to sign on, like Adele and some of these more independent artists. They signed on to,
right,
Apple Music.
Right, because they were like, oh, well, now they're on board.
Yeah. And so it turned into a positive from her arguing with it. And then people wanted, you know, her to – I love someone's tweet that said, Taylor Swift, can you please write to Chipotle and ask them to stop charging extra for guacamole? Which I totally agree with. If she,
well,
could do that.
I had a big issue with Starbucks for charging extra for soy milk. I'm, yeah, like, it's not my fault I'm lactose intolerant, yeah, for goodness sake. All right. This is fascinating. But to summarize,
yeah,
for those even like me, while I have an iPad and iPhone, I was clueless, mm-hmm, about this because I just wanted to make sure that I did not have to sign up for Apple Music. You don't have to have the subscription service.
No, you don't.
You can still use your iTunes just like normal.
Mm-hmm.
And Spotify is a subscription service.
It's free. There's a free
version. There is a free version, much like there is Pandora.
Yeah. And so there's a free version and then there's a more paid version where you
can. But there's not going to be a free version of Apple Music.
Well, I mean, I guess they would say Apple Music, the free version is your own music and then this Beats Radio. So what you're paying for is the streaming portion of it.
All right.
So,
do I sound like I'm just ancient if I'm like, I'm so not paying for my own, for Apple Music? I just, it doesn't make any sense to me.
I don't know. I used to, you know, get my music. I would buy it on iTunes and then have it in my library. Mm-hmm. And then I found Spotify once it came to the US. And I have found Spotify to be a great service because my music, likes change, mm-hmm, you know, my taste in music changes
it
very
diversifies
fast.
Yeah. Absolutely.
And so I don't want to be paying for all that. I don't have money, you know, I'm a college student, and
sure,
and so I by paying that monthly fee to Spotify, which is like $8 a month, I can go through all these songs that I would, you know, normally not listen to because I wouldn't pay for it.
You know, it's very interesting you say that, and then we're going to get to a quick break because we have to come back and talk about this streaming tax that's happening, which I'm furious. If I still lived within city limits, I would be livid.
Yeah.
Picketing people. So I'm just going to inspire you guys to do it. So, and that's coming up next. So City of Chicago, increasing taxes, just adding new ones.
Just
exciting.
Adding a tax,
yeah, that's,
mm-hmm,
happy you guys. But what's interesting is I think the younger generation,
yeah,
younger than me. So like from the millennials into whatever is current, mm-hmm, now, are so fortunate because I had to either put my actual tape recorder upside down on top of my clock radio to record a song off the radio and really, really hope that the DJ didn't talk over it too much.
Mm-hmm.
Like, hello, there's a post for a reason. Or I had to go buy the whole album.
Yeah.
You know, there was a thing called K-Singles for a while, which was like a cassette single, and that was still like $5. I'm like, well, that's just dumb. But so it for you guys, you're so fortunate because your musical tastes are able to be so diverse and able to sample. And now iTunes is playing 90 seconds of a song instead of 30 seconds.
Which is great. You can get the
So you're able to go, yes, I want that, or I want to hear more from that artist. Yeah. And it's really, really a neat time for artists, independent artists, songwriters, mm-hmm. et cetera, because you have all of it. You have access immediate. We are going to come back and talk about this new streaming tax in the city of Chicago. Michael Guerin, intern to the stars, and Hannah Stanley hosting, sitting in for David Plyer tonight on WGN.
Love you.
Getting back together. Yeah, that's right. I'm singing along.
I'm not going to sing. But
it's because it's 3:21 in the morning.
People don't want
to
hear me sing.
Nobody wants to hear me sing either. The only one around us who should be singing is Rachel because she is very talented. She probably is, and she just says, Michael.
Oh,
I was absolutely singing.
Yeah.
I sing along to most of the bumps.
Yeah. It happens. And I dance along, which you just saw. And people at home can see. If you want, you can go to WGNradio.com, click the listen. Watch live button. You're already listening live. See how that is? Because I'm fancy like that. And you can click watch live and you can see us.
Yeah.
Michael and Hello. I sitting in studio talking right now. Well, we've been talking about Apple versus Spotify because Apple Music is this new fancy thing. It just launched 2-3 days ago. Spotify has been around for a while, and there's multiple layers of membership that you can be involved in. And we are going to get into this new streaming tax that they just sort of snuck in to the city of Chicago. But Michael, you brought up a really good point. And by the way, did I say Hannah Stanley? Hannah Stanley, Michael Guerin. I'm filling in for David Plyer. Hello. Hello, David Plyer. You're at home enjoying your holiday. And then Michael Guerin, intern extraordinaire for WGN TV, sitting in with me all show, but co-hosting right now. And we've been talking Apple Music, the new Apple Music. Don't panic because we're still going to have iTunes.
Yeah.
And for free.
Yeah, for free.
For free. We'll still have access to our own stuff.
Addition.
But you mentioned that what's interesting and people aren't necessarily factoring in mm-hmm. are additional costs. Explain. Yeah.
So when you're using these services like Spotify, Pandora, Apple Music, the streaming one, when you're driving or you're not at home, you're not connected to your Wi-Fi, you're using your cellular data. So that adds up depending on which network you're on. T-Mobile, they count it in. So there's T-Mobile does not charge for streaming. They don't include it in the data plan. So any streaming music, it doesn't count against you. But every other network does. And so that can add up pretty quickly if you're streaming music. And especially depending on which one, because some of them are, you know, efficient with the data that they use.
Sure.
And others are not. And, you know, that is to be determined with Apple.
And it shifts too, because the higher you get in your usage, the slower your download speeds are.
Yeah.
Because they stifle you, you will.
Well, there's one thing. Spotify, you can make your playlist available offline.
Yeah, if you have the premium one, you can download it. So like if you're going on a plane or even if you're driving.
So you don't, that's why it's so good, because you don't have to buy the music, but you can have it on an airplane or in your car and not go over data 15 times.
And they don't have that yet on Apple Music, which is interesting because I think that's a really big plus for Spotify, why people pay for it. That's why I pay for it because of that.
Part of it was too, as you mentioned, they curate playlists on Spotify, but they also have the ability to create your own playlist, but then share them with your friends.
And you can collaborate on them. So you and I could make a playlist. You could have like
We should do that.
And
I
then
need
you can
to, okay, wait a second. I can write this down. Download Spotify. Okay.
Step one.
Steal underpants. Okay. That would be really fun. That would be great. And Rachel and I could use that for like bump music. We could create a playlist. That'd
Amy
be great.
Amy Guth has a Spotify playlist for bump.
Of course she does.
She's so
fantastic.
Tech savvy.
I know. I love her. She's the best. She really is fantastic. And if you missed her, she'll be podcast. All of her previous show will be up on the air. She did a whole bunch of stuff on The Grateful Dead.
Yeah, and she's still live tweeting right now.
Of course she is, because it's Guth Gauntlet. This is what she does.
It's amazing. Very entertaining.
If you are on the Twitter, I highly encourage you to follow at Guth Gauntlet, G-U-T-H Gauntlet. And it is, she, as she walks home from the station, she live tweets.
It's hilarious. It is really providing a lot of entertainment.
And if you are concerned about Amy Guth, you join me, because I always worry about her going home safely. And then I remember I should be worried about the people who might consider attacking her, because she's trained in Krav Maga. All right. So this streaming tax, and of course we're running out of time, so we're gonna talk about this a little bit probably after the break as well. 312-981-7200, by the way, if you want to join us, because we want you to. And you can text or call in, and it'd be delightful to hear from you either way. City of Chicago decided to do what? Tax us.
Yeah, 9% additional tax on streaming. So that's not just the things we've been talking about, the music. It also includes Netflix. And it came out of nowhere, really. It was just, it was added by
It came out of greed is where it came out of.
Yeah, but it was not, no one really knew it was coming. It was the city finance department just said that they can... you know, add this tax.
It was this nuanced thing based on the fact that they're able to, well, essentially what they said is that they're trying to even the playing field between bricks and mortar locations and these streaming companies. And I kind of get it.
Yeah.
But not really.
No, and they're trying, and it was just because expanding the definition of.
I mean, Blockbuster's gone. Yeah. Who are they trying to even the playing field for Netflix?
They're not. I mean, it's really
Redbox.
It's trying to get more income for the city. And
say that ain't so. That can't possibly be the reason.
$12 million rather is
expected,
in revenue is expected from this this June ruling that came in.
All right. So the one that's going to affect most people is Netflix.
It is.
Does this affect Amazon Prime downloads as well?
Because
you're paying for that.
It would be if it's streaming, yes. From what I've read and understand, and it's not really 100% clear as to what it's covering. I mean, Apple Music came out right after this was announced. So does it cover it? Basically, what the city has said
is the city of Chicago thinks it can, it will.
Everything that's streaming is going to have this 9% additional tax. And this isn't just affecting people that live in Chicago. It's affecting businesses. However, that starts in September.
But the businesses, because they're utilizing databases. Yeah. I don't understand how that streams, though.
I don't get that either. And I guess because I'm not in the business world. So
all right. So here, think about it this way. Like the MLS listings for real estate.
Yeah.
That's something that they would pay to utilize and to list their properties.
Mm-hmm.
I believe real estate was one of the things that was affected. Lawyers sometimes hearing dates or court listings, that's going to be affected too. It's really, really broad reaching and kind of scary.
And it's interesting because the mayor is trying to do this, you know, instead of overall raising taxes in the city, trying to find these little fillers to get the additional revenue for the city.
But this could be more damaging.
I think it could be more damaging for him because you're now nickel and diming possibly what people would perceive across the city, because it's not just this, it's been different things that he's been adding. He's trying to close the loophole though.
Well, and it's going to be, I mean, obviously Netflix is going to pass that savings on to you. If Netflix, because Netflix is going to have to pay, and so then you're not going to pay the tax.
No.
Netflix is going to pay the tax, but then Netflix is going to charge you more per month.
Yeah.
And you think they're going to just make it the same rate? I don't think so.
No. And these other businesses, the businesses that it's affecting, they're saying they're moving their billing addresses to places outside of the city of Chicago.
It makes you wonder how far this is going to reach.
Yeah.
And it's going to affect people who wouldn't necessarily have been affected by that tax increase because of their income rate. Maybe they're able to afford Netflix. Oh, but now they're going to have to pay more for it.
Yeah. I mean, I think about it. I can barely, you know, I can't, I don't have big monthly expenses that I can afford as a college student.
Well, and I don't live in the city of Chicago.
No, and I don't either. So this doesn't affect me, which is kind of nice.
Does but it? Because what? How is Netflix only going to charge more for city of Chicago zip codes? I don't know.
Yeah. And they haven't really said what they're going to do with this yet.
No, because they didn't know it was coming either, probably. No. All right, you know what? It is time for news. Would base count as a word that you should eliminate to make you sound smarter?
I think if you're using it.
I think if you're using it like Megan Trainor. Yeah. Hannah Stanley here filling in for Dave Plyer. He will be back with you next week. I'm assuming, although I'll happily fill in. I'll happily do a shift. I love being here with you guys. It is a fun shift.
Yeah.
When I first started coming on the station as a guest, I was on with Bill Leff when he was doing overnights. Uh-huh. And so I would come on with him around midnight, and then he would say, we'll do like 2 segments, and then I'd just be here till like 3:30. So, and then I'd drive home, and then I'd go back to my job the next morning, and it was great. But I really loved being down here when it was so calm and relaxed. It's such a different city at this point of the night. The voice you're hearing, not mine, is Hannah Stanley, but Michael Guerin, intern to the Stars. We just had a texter say that you were very fluid sounding on the radio, and I would like to say to your dad, thanks for listening.
And you weren't joking there, too, which is the best.
We also, Jay in Ohio texted in to say that he was listening in Ohio. So thank you, Jay in Ohio. And please high five my sister. She was supposed to be here for the weekend and had car trouble, and not like normal car trouble, like the carburetor broke. No, her windshield, she was in getting something done at the dealership. And when they had the car up on the rack, whatever you would call it, the lift, they jimmied the car somehow, and the windshield cracked top to bottom, and it shifted it. So you can tell that.
And they didn't give her a loaner to come out here.
No,
what?
No,
it's their fault, right?
It is their fault. Yeah. So they're fixing it as they should, but she still didn't get to come. So, you know, that's okay. I feel like it was probably the way it was supposed to be. So there have been stories flying around. I've seen them. I think I overprinted them. There were two about one word and one about, standby. I'm counting 15 words that you're not supposed to say so that you can sound smarter. So let's start with the one.
Yeah.
It's just one word.
It is just one word.
It's just one word.
Just one word.
It's just one word. However, the way we're using it is okay.
Yeah.
It's just one word.
Mm-hmm.
Sort of okay. A Google executive is saying that it can damage your credibility if you use the word just. And what this person in particular noticed is that it was a higher ratio of female to male employees using it more frequently.
And so they're using it for permission.
They're essentially justifying what they're talking about. And just is in there as well. But what they're doing is it's actually, they feel it's kind of softening what they're saying.
Yeah.
And they say, I just wanted to check in instead of where the heck is it, essentially, or I wanted to check in. It feels like it's asking for permission. It's kind of diminishing what you're doing instead of having authority by saying just, it's taking you out of the game.
It completely makes sense. I mean, I used just until now. I'm realizing
up until about
should.
3 days ago.
Yeah.
I did realize I was using it because when I tweet, I'll tweet what I want, and then I have to go back and edit to get it to be 140 characters or less.
Yeah.
And sometimes it's really challenging because I talk on the radio for a living, and so I tend to be a little bit more colorful with my descriptions and things. And I would realize that I would put Justin. I'm like, well, that's just a filler word. I don't need that. That's silly.
It does. I mean, you can totally tell that makes you, once you read it, this article,
kind of
and
inferior.
What you think about, yeah. And you can see why this Google executive said that.
Yes. And so some of the other quotes were, if you can just give me an answer then, or I'm just following up on, which is very similar to the first one I just wanted to check in on, or just wondering if you decided, all of those, and I can kind of see it as the, like, hey, didn't want to bug you, mm-hmm. just wanted to check in.
It's like knocking on the door, but kind of, you know,
yeah, sorry
you don't want
to,
yeah.
Sorry to interrupt.
Yeah. Yeah.
Just, but what they're saying is it damages your credibility. It does not demonstrate that you have the go-gettedness.
Mm-hmm.
You're too meager.
Yeah.
Which is very interesting. So what they were saying is when they actually did some serious research, it was like 2/3 more women used just. Men almost never used this. And so they started, this writer of this article started challenging her staff not to use this. They asked two people, a guy and a girl, to spend 3 minutes speaking about their startups. And then they counted how many times the woman used just and the man. And the man did it, I think, none. and the woman used it 5 or 6 times. No, the man used it once.
Okay.
And probably to properly. And the woman used it 5 or 6 times, depending on the tallier. So,
wow.
Remove that so you can gain your credibility back. Now, 15 words to eliminate to sound smarter. That?
Yeah, I see that. I mean, oh my gosh. It's 3:40.
I win. No, but this is another word that I've noticed in my tweets.
Yeah. It's not necessary.
It's superfluous.
Yeah, what's the point of it?
There is very little point to using that. So if you say don't use that when you refer to people, right, which makes no sense because it's them,
yeah,
not that. But I have several friends that live in the neighborhood. No, you have several friends who live in the neighborhood. But that is another one that I have noticed myself using, and I'm going to try not to use that.
This is a really hard segment to do.
This is a hard segment because you end up falling into the same patterns.
Yeah.
I went to school. I went to the Jewels.
Mm-hmm.
That's what very Nick Chicago DiGiulio thing. And I would say. The Jewels. I used to say I went to the Dominic's, which actually worked,
yeah.
But I can't. I went to school or the church or wherever, but instead of went, considered a more active verb, such as I drove or skated or walked or ran, because it makes you sound more intelligent. This is the whole point. Honestly, I do this all the time. And what it does is it makes people feel like the rest of the time you're not being honest.
Yeah.
It diminishes.
And so what's the point of saying honestly? Then what are you?
People
you're saying,
think that it adds emphasis.
Yeah.
Like, honestly, it's the coolest thing I've ever seen.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, so the rest of the time you're lying to me. So what it what it actually does? It doesn't add emphasis to what you're saying. It just makes people de-emphasize the rest of what you're saying. All right, absolutely. Another word I say quite a bit. Adding it to the end of most sentences is redundant. Absolutely necessary doesn't make any sense. It's the same amount of necessary. Necessary is, in fact, necessary, folks. If you recommend an essential course to your new employees, it's essential. So what they're basically saying, and we're going to say this a couple of times, is there are better, more descriptive, definitive words that can be used in place of some of these that we have become to use as a crutch. Very, very is number 5 on this list. Very, 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 for certain, you don't need it most of the time.
Yeah.
I very much would like that to happen. Yeah. I'd really like that to happen.
Oh, I see what you did there.
Yeah. So
you used really.
I did.
I don't know if you knew that.
You're savvy. Oh, look, number six is really. Oh, I'm savvy. Unless you're a Valley Girl visiting from 1985, you don't need really to modify an adjective or a verb or anything else. You don't need to say really or very. It's just really, really bad writing. A lot of this is far more important when writing.
Yeah, because you don't really, you can't censor yourself as much when you're going through, unless you have one word specifically, like
our, absolutely.
Our, yeah.
There's another word coming up that if you, well, it's next. Number seven, amazing. I don't know if you've ever watched The Bachelor. I don't.
It's not amazing.
No. What I do watch, however, I watch Jimmy Kimmel. And Jimmy Kimmel does a Bachelor recap or a Bachelorette recap. And they count how many times people say amazing. And it's usually in the 30s. The date was so amazing. Tonight was so amazing. He's so amazing. So I've realized no one should say amazing unless they're actually amazed by whatever it is in front of them.
Yeah, I it's used way more often than I mean. It is amazing how many people here at Michigan Avenue.
But it does.
But am I amazed? I don't. I think I am amazed. Would it be appropriate to use it now?
Impressed.
I'm impressed. Okay. Yes. I'm impressed by the view outside of the studio.
It's lovely, isn't it?
It is lovely.
I know. It's really fantastic. But it is an impressive view.
It is very impressive.
Would be maybe more appropriate.
Yeah, not amazing.
Rachel, you're a writer.
This sounds like every writing class I took in college.
Okay.
Ever.
Alrighty. Always. Ugh. Stop saying it. We don't always need to say that because always isn't usually accurate.
No, and then it gets you stuck into the it is always.
Right. Or is it or is it not?
Yeah.
Much like honestly.
Mm-hmm.
Never. Just don't. It's the same. Yeah. Just stop.
This one, next one drives me nuts.
Literally?
Literally drives me nuts.
I know. It literally, first off, it's literally.
Oh, yeah.
However, Parks and Rec fans will, Rob Lowe, who could sit on a couch and talk about how ugly I was, and I would be like, you're totally right. Because he's just dreamy. Yes, just. He's just dreamy. Just. He is gosh darn terrifically dreamy. He always said, literally. It is literally the worst thing I've ever heard of. Literally. And it means actually. So people just say actually.
If you want to get really sassy with people, when they say, oh, my God, that's literally the coolest thing I've ever seen. You just be like, is it really? Is it actually the best thing you've ever tasted?
You've never, never, ever getting back together with him. No, you're never, ever, you've never, really, really, you've never had anything better. Yes. If you get gosh darn sassy with them, we've talked about just, we talked about just in another one. Just is on this list as well. So that should probably be the first one you eliminate.
Yeah.
Maybe we should do that.
This is something that when you're like pondering a thought, though, I feel like it just kind of comes out.
Right. And it's a filler word. And a lot of these are filler words. They're either superfluous.
Mm-hmm.
Or there's something that we kind of use as a crutch. So maybe when people go, Hannah, would you like to go, or what shall we do? And I go, maybe we can go. You know what?
Yeah,
maybe
it's why you're thinking.
Maybe is the 2015 version of That's what maybe is.
Yeah, and it's like a audible version of your brain thinking.
Yes.
Yeah.
Yes.
It's like maybe.
Maybe. Yeah. It's, you know what it is. When you text and you're texting back and there's the three little dots.
Yes.
And so I know that you're texting me back.
It's those,
that's what maybe is.
That's what maybe.
That's the verbal version of that. Stuff. Somebody said this the other day. I feel like it was a sports guy that used to work with us here, former coworker, and he said that he was going to be hosting a show and talking about sports and stuff. And somebody else he was co-hosting, and our friend and former coworker said, which is good because I like sports and stuff. So again, kind of superfluous.
Yeah.
Things.
Same thing as stuff.
Same. And, oh, people, it's not even a word. irregardless is not a word. Just stop. Stop right now.
I think this is literally going down.
It is literally going down. Mike, you are joining us on WGN. Tell me your pet peeve.
Hey, good morning.
Good morning.
You know what? When people are talking or they have just said something to you or they're trying to make a point of what they were trying to make the point of, they always say, and I hear this in radio a lot, and there used to be a WGN radio host who used to use it all the time.
Who was it?
Having said that, I'm like, really?
Who is the host?
I don't want to say.
Okay. I'll put you on hold. You can tell Rachel. But having said that, I agree with you. There are some things, and I do it. I get texts. We get texts during the show about, you know, Hannah, you say that word all the time. And sometimes they're right, and sometimes they're nitpicking, because occasionally I say yum, and it happens. And I work on it. I really do. There we go. But there are crutches, and I understand. But typically, we can fix them if we pay attention. So having said that, Mike, I appreciate your call. We're going to get to a quick break. Boy, we have 800 things left to talk about. So we'll take a quick break. Hannah Stanley, Michael Guerin sitting in with me as well. You know him, you love him, as the morning show intern. We'll be back right after this on WGN. Oh, folks, we got an 11-year-old who's got one less problem. Although Joey is one less problem. Hannah Stanley here sitting in for Dave Flyer. He will be back with you next week. And if he's not, I'll come back. I'm fine with that. Michael Guerin, intern to the stars. And by stars, I mean the Channel 9.
I'm changing my Twitter.
Morning news, intern to the stars.
My Twitter bio, yeah. Thank you for that.
please do. According to Hannah Stanley says, and people are like, who is Hannah Stanley? Mike Guerin is a morning show intern and asked if he could come sit in for one of the shows. And I said, well, sure, but my normal hour shows don't start until, again, the 11th. And you went, no, I'll come in the middle of the night.
Yeah, why not? This is fun.
I like the middle of the night. It's pretty neat. And it's far livelier, although it's actually started to diminish.
The deadheads are going to bed.
We typically do not see this much tie-dye on Michigan Avenue.
Okay. This is my first time in here, so
at any point of the day or night. And this has been an interesting one. You could tell the show let out when I sat in with Amy Goo that, one, there were still people that you could tell, based on their exhaustion level, had walked from Soldier Field.
I could not believe the number of people that were walking. I don't know why I thought that was so strange, but it was just, I mean, when I was driving in, the number of pedestrians that just stopped in the middle
everywhere.
Of the street.
All right. So we actually are going to talk about this 11-year-old girl whose name we don't know. We know her older sister. Nope. Natalie. Natalie is her name. Natalie broke up with Joey, and we're going to get to that in a second. But first, I have to tell a side story of when I was in Las Vegas. First time I've been in Las Vegas, and the Dead were in town.
Oh.
Who knew? Because I'm not a Dead head or fan, or I mean, I'm sure they had musical ability. I just don't know any of their music.
Yeah.
And I'm glad that they exist for the people who love them. But there were deadheads camping out on the lawns of the casinos. There were security people who were going crazy. I couldn't walk up and down the strip because there are just deadheads everywhere. And they're like, we can just sleep right here. And I'm like, and I don't know why they had a Southern accent, but I'm trying to watch like the Treasure Island show, and they're literally spreading sleeping bags.
And they consider it a movement. I was listening to Amy's show earlier.
Yeah.
And they were talking about the movement of the deadhead movement.
Yeah. I don't know. So our good friend Natalie, got a lot of really positive, supportive, you go girl press earlier this week. 11-year-old Natalie, in a series of rapid fire text messages with her then boyfriend, Joey, she told him where to stick it. And now she's actually getting a little backlash that she was maybe too abusive.
Yeah. And the people, the way people are responding to it, they're reading these texts and they're thinking, you know, maybe, you know, the people that are commenting on it are saying some negative things on social media.
Right.
And then it's more cyberbullying towards her.
Towards her.
Yeah. And her mom was talking to ABC News about how she was kind of concerned about it. It taught her a lesson about how fast things can spread.
Mm-hmm.
But just to be careful, you know.
Absolutely. And it's one of those things that we've experienced it here. Many of us have talked about how these texts come in and they're rapid fire and they can kind of derail your show.
Yeah.
You get something negative, you get something obscene. I mean, there's things and all of a sudden you're like, whoa, wait, I need mm-hmm. train of thought, focusing. Some of the hosts won't read the texts. They yeah. have the producer screen those and I don't blame them. I read mine for now. Until somebody messes with me. Uh-huh. No, but here's the thing. 11-year-old Natalie's sister, older sister, tweeted screenshots of this text conversation. Joey was spotted at the park with another girl named Natalie. We have decided to do a dramatic reading of the texts.
I'm Joey.
You're Joey, which
of course.
Is, that works
naturally.
Out well. I am Natalie.
Okay. Are we reading in correct grammar or correct spelling that's in here? I think that would...
Well, I think it'll add because yeah. she's 11.
She is.
All right. We need to talk.
Okay.
So I heard, H-E-R-D, you went to the park with Natalie. Wait, who's Natalie? Wait, I thought I was Natalie.
This is getting confused.
I don't know. Okay.
Maddie. Oh,
no, Maddie's the older sister. Mm. All right, we don't know who the girl is. I'm playing girlfriend. We need to talk.
Oh, okay.
You're still Joey.
Okay.
Yeah. You're still Joey.
Confusing me. Okay.
Yeah.
Okay.
We need to talk.
Okay.
Oh, sorry. So I heard, H-E-R-D, you went to the park with Natalie. Why would you cheat on me, Joey? I gave you two chances and I actually believed you when you said you loved me, but I guess not.
I'm sorry. I was just hanging with her.
W-I-T.
W-I-T with her.
Whatever. Just capital D. Don't talk to me in middle school. I didn't even love you.
Sounds good to me. And well, you were the one that bought my Starbucks drink, so obviously loved me. Obviously you love me a little bit.
Yeah. Screw you, Joey. Ding, ding, ding. Oh, what was that? Oh, yeah, the elevator, because you're not on my level. I won this fight. We're over. For real this time. For real, one word.
That was really impressive for an 11-year-old.
The ding 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 thing. Ding ding ding, because you're not on my level. I would have had to Google a burn that strong when I was 11, and there was no Google when I was 11. And that was a dramatic interpretation of the girlfriend breaks up with Joey texts.
Yeah.
By Hannah and Michael. Ta-la-la-la. Okay.
Something you can only get on WGN.
Okay. Yeah, that is or WGNradio.com for the podcast
yeah.
of such aforementioned dramatic reading of the 11-year-old breaks up with Joey text message series.
I'm going into news, not acting for a reason. I'm not great at acting.
I'm just hosting a talk show. Yeah. I'm not doing either. So but honestly, I think here's the thing. I hate that backlashes exist.
Yeah.
Unless they're appropriate. And for her to have them gone viral and for Hello Giggles and a lot of the other female empowerment type websites to have gone, you go, girl.
Yeah.
I appreciated that. But I hate that she's sitting here looking at these.
It's too much, for an 11-year-old.
I think it's too much for anybody.
Anyway, it's very true.
I am a big fan of not having comments on news stories. And I would have. I hope that her mom was able to keep her away from a lot of what was being said, because
yeah.
it's really unfortunate. And I don't know. I hope Joey didn't see it either.
Maybe.
Because none of this
Maybe
stuff,
this taught him a lesson.
When I was younger, none of this stuff happened. Like if I told somebody off on the playground,
mm-hmm.
one, it was better in my brain than it probably actually was. And it definitely was not as good as ding ding ding, you're not on my level. But then it was done and over and finished, and now this lives forever, and that's a really scary place to be.
And I didn't know Starbucks was a meant
I didn't,
love.
I didn't
Did
know
you
Starbucks
know
meant no, because obviously
I'm very confused
I mean,
about relationships
I
in my
life. I love Rachel,
now.
I love my co-host, I love lots of people who I've purchased Starbucks for. You know what, folks? We got to get you to the news. This is Chicago's very own 720 WGN Chicago and WGNRadio.com. It is 4 o'clock in the morning. Here's... The snapping you hear is mine. Hannah Stanley, Michael Guerin, you're still sitting in.
I am. Thank you for having me. This is amazing.
I'm so happy that you...
Was that on the list of words? Wait, amazing.
Yes, amazing is on the list.
Oh, dang.
Oh, that's all right. This is a life goal achieved. Bucket list. There you go.
Yes, it is.
So, and I said bucket, people. Michael Guerin, intern to the stars, Dean Richards among them. We were just speaking of Mr. Richards.
He did threaten me and say he was going to call and act like a drunk person. He said, but he hasn't done it yet. So
sure.
He was,
act like.
He, was, he said he was going to wake up early. He hasn't done it yet.
No, but early would be nowish for him.
Yeah.
Although, I mean, we're going to be on until 5, filling in for...
This isn't really early.
For David Plyer. No, for him. For him, because he's usually doing TV.
Yeah.
Monday through Friday, but maybe on Sundays. He'll be in just a few hours here.
Yeah, he will.
On WGN. So if you want to take a nap, you'll be here. You'll be here when he arrives. The music you were just listening to for that bump—that's what we call it, the bump—is called "The City." It's Randy, what's his name? Newman, Randy Newman, and it is from Bug's Life. I called it the wrong movie title, and then I told Rachel to listen to what I mean, not what I say. So that rule applies to you as well, listening. But it is Bug's Life, which is another Disney Pixar film. I just saw, now wait, this is when it gets tricky because it's actually Sunday. So I saw not yesterday, but the day before, Inside Out, which is the newest Disney Pixar film. I did a little bit of a review with Amy Guth, and if you missed it here, I'll do it again. It's so leveled, and it and you have not seen this, right?
I have not, but I've heard the cast is extraordinary.
The cast is amazing, and they're so appropriately cast. Mindy Kaling plays Disgust, which is just every role she's ever played in
her
whole life.
Very true.
She's like, ew.
She's getting typecast a little bit. But
a little bit, but she's perfect.
Yeah, she is.
and I can't think of Phyllis, the actress who played Phyllis on The Office, but she has the best sadness voice.
Yeah.
She plays sadness. Amy Poehler plays joy, and she's just lovely. She's just fantastic. Just. Yes, I keep saying that. And it really is really well done. A friend of mine took her 3-year-old, and the 3-year-old got very fidgety because she really just didn't grasp what was happening because it is a little bit higher level. So a 3-year-old maybe would think the characters were cute, but get a little bit bored. My 4-year-old actually really, really liked it and kind of grasped what was going on. She's almost 5. Seven and a half year old thought it was good and definitely understood that what the emotions were talking about and how they interplayed. And my husband and I said, we need to go see it again without the kids.
And so these emotions are characters, correct?
The characters are the emotions, and what they do is they are characters. They're her emotions in one little girl, and as she grows up, and each of them interacts with each other, and they run her memory and her emotions, and they create these core memories, create the islands of her personality. So there's Goofball Island, and there's Honesty Island, and there's Family Island, and there's Hockey Island, and things that are important to her. And I don't want to give too much away, but really what it does is it really skillfully teaches a lesson about how your emotions interplay with each other and the importance of dealing with things. And really, I think the kids will get it at one level and the parents will just like blown away. However, what was amazing is what started. I'm always impressed by the shorts, but this one, we're going to play a snippet of... Okay, a snippet. We're going to play like 90 seconds of it. I don't know. Maybe a little less. Don't yell at me, people.
A long, long time ago, there was a volcano living all alone in the middle of the sea. He
sat high above his bed, watching all the couples play, and wishing that he had someone to.
All right, this is from the short, and we're going to let the roll just a little bit longer. The new Pixar short, Lava. And it's a volcano that is singing. It's a narrator that's singing, and then the volcano sings this part of the song.
Okay.
Will come true that you're here with me, and I'm here with you. I wish that the earth, see the sky up above, will send me someone to love.
Oh my.
Right? Okay. So
you bought the song as it was playing.
It was playing, I was so drawn in to this storyline. And of course it's animated. This is short. It's about 5 minutes long. You can purchase it. It is Lava. It is on iTunes. 312 just texted in, Inside Out, by far the best Pixar movie ever made. I have to tell you, I will see it again. And for me, longevity will be what's going to make sure that holds true. Because I love The Incredibles. I love Toy Story. I love Toy Story 3. I think maybe more than the original Toy Story.
Wow.
But Inside Out, because of the levels of development to the stories and how complex it is in their thinking and how they explained this, I have to be inclined to say that I agree. That Inside Out is the best. Getting back to the short, though, Disney Pixar wins so frequently the Oscar for Best Animated Short.
They can tell such a compelling story in just a short amount of time.
They've got 14 arcs, 3 different characters, and a great soundtrack. It's absolutely fantastic how involved. But I will tell you, it was right. We were at the drive-in, so I'm getting eaten by mosquitoes, even though I had completely sprayed bug spray everywhere in the car under my pant leg. I mean, it was just, and I still, like, right there, right? Gigantic bug bite. My body language changed. I was so drawn in by this crazy volcano. And he's not crazy, he's just precious. And someone else put on Facebook a few days ago, I can't believe Pixar made me love a volcano. And I was like, I'm so confused. I didn't know there was a volcano in Inside Out. It's not. It's about the short. And I, having seen no other shorts this year, but I do try to see them, the animated shorts. This is the one category of the Oscars I get really into. I think that this has it far and away will win the Oscar.
Really?
I just don't see anything that can compete with this. It really does. You sit there and you are captivated by a 5-minute story about a volcano. As you mentioned, I downloaded it while we were sitting there. I jumped on iTunes and found the song. And the kids really liked it as well. It was another thing that had some development. And I listened to it like 7 times coming down tonight.
Do you think it could be developed into a feature length film, or they don't normally do that with the shorts?
They don't
though.
Typically do that. Last year, I believe it was called Feast. It was the short that ran before Big Hero 6, and that one won the Oscar.
Mm-hmm.
And that was about a dog, and how his owner used to give him really, really great bowls of food.
Uh-huh.
And then his owner started dating a health freak. And so then his owner ate better. And then the owner fed the dog less because there, you know, he wasn't getting potato chips off to the side and stuff. But then, and then they broke up. And the owner was so sad that even though the dog was getting better feasts, he knew to go find the woman and bring her back. And so even though it would hurt him and his stomach, because he wouldn't be getting the fancy food, his owner would be happy. And so that was fantastic. 312-981-7200. If you have a favorite short that Pixar has made, Bird on a Wire, I think was the very first one that I ever saw. That might have been before Toy Story. But it was the one where they all and they flung off. Favorite short, or let's even take this a little bit further, because I was fortunate enough to get to go to the drive-in. I never went to the drive-in until last summer.
Oh, really?
In my entire life, I had never been to a drive-in.
There's not many left in Illinois.
Five.
Yeah.
Five left, two specifically, one in McHenry.
That's the only one I've been to.
And I've been to Cascade, which is in West Chicago. I went last summer and I went this summer. James Van Asdell, who you hear on this radio station frequently, he went tonight and saw Inside Out. And then Jurassic World was the double feature, which is...
That's the nice thing about...
About the drive-in?
Yes.
Yeah, it really is.
Except it depends on the age, you know, for that one.
Right, and I know Cascade drive-in on Sundays, it's $15 a car.
Wow, that's amazing.
It's amazing.
That might be amazing.
It really is.
In comparison.
It is a fantastic deal. Yeah. We'll say that. We're trying hard to not
I'm really not doing well with
We're trying hard not to use
words. Tape these in front of me.
I know. Words that we're not supposed to use so that we can sound more intelligent. And amazing would be one of them. But $15 for a carload of people is a good value.
It is.
For
can bring your own food. You don't have to sneak it in. You know, your popcorn and stuff,
right?
And your drinks.
We came with Chipotle last night.
Oh,
and
wow.
Sat in the back of the car eating the Chipotle. It was.
I'm gonna go to a drive. That's a great idea.
Well, because you got to get there early.
Yeah.
So I think we had an hour prior to the movie, and the kids can run around. And there's a park, and it was neat.
McHenry has a park as well.
I actually posted a picture that you saw.
Yeah.
That I was lounging in the back of my car prepping for tonight's show while my husband had the kids at the park. So
seemed very relaxing to do that.
It was nice. We brought pillows. We had blankets. It was fantastic. We left before Jurassic World started.
Yeah.
Because I didn't want the kids to have dinosaur-related nightmares.
Yeah. I haven't seen that one yet, but I've heard.
I haven't either. All right, let's do this. Let's take a quick break. If you have drive-in movie theater memories, please share. They're, you know, fewer and farther between, and really such a tremendous piece of Americana, these drive-ins. And for having grown up around them and have never gone to them, and now... really enjoying having this with my kids. It's pretty exciting. 312-981-7200. We will be back. Hannah Stanley, Michael Guerin on WGN.
Sitting in the darkness, popcorn on your knee.
You can bring in your own popcorn. We're Hannah Stanley. Filling in for David Plyer. He will be back with you next Saturday, as far as I know, and probably is according to his plan, because he loves doing this show and talking with you guys every week. Michael Guerin, intern extraordinaire. He is he's sitting in with me. He's the morning show intern for WGN Television. You have seen and heard Robin and Larry and Dean and everybody talk about how good an intern he is. And that's because he pays them really, really well. So we're talking about drive-in movies, and we're getting several texts to 312-981-7200. But you can call in as well. I just took my family and I went to go see Inside Out last night. So if you have comments about Inside Out, comments about the Pixar short Lava, comments about other Pixar shorts, because gosh darn it, I love them all. Have you ever seen the one, it's the snow globe, the tropical snow globe? Yes. Somebody has a snow globe collection and they're trying to get into, the so creative, those people.
I'm not going to say a word because I need to.
You keep saying
these.
The words that you are now forbidden.
It's pretty good what they can produce. I mean, these Imagineers, aren't they called that? Imagineers at Disney?
The Disney Imagineers are the ones who do all kinds of stuff. I don't know what they're called at Pixar.
But they're combined.
Animateers? They are combined. It's Disney, Pixar, but they're actually two separate.
Do they work separately?
Okay. They work separately. Grease 847 has just texted in, Grease was the best drive-in movie ever. That makes me old. I don't think it does. I think Grease was the best movie on several levels across.
That'd be fun to see
across
the
board. It would be super fun. I would actually love it if the drive-ins would start playing older movies.
Well, and they're probably listening right now, so we'll see that.
Cascade Drive-In, please start playing old classic movies. That would be really, really great. I'd totally go see Grease at a drive-in, especially because
really
they
experience.
Have a drive-in scene in Grease.
Yeah,
stranded at the drive-in. Branded a fool. Yeah. All right. What will they say Monday at school? All right. Done pretending to sing. Last I knew, this is an 815 text. Last I knew, the drive-in in Earlville. Wait, hold on. My text screen just moved. The Earlville, LaSalle County is still going strong about 2 hours south of Chicago, just a few miles north of Starved Rock State Park. Yes, I do believe that that was one on,
yeah,
the
list. That's on the
list. There was another one in Sterling. Right,
Sterling and Springfield, I think. I saw one down there.
All right, yeah.
McHenry, of course.
In McHenry and then West Chicago, which is the Cascade Drive-In. Really, really fantastic. Good. It was a fun time. But here's the thing. My husband said, I wonder why these aren't as popular. And I went, well, bugs.
Mm-hmm.
And...
Have you noticed, like, movie theaters now with the reclining chairs and...
Yes, but they're $100.
Live? Like, even the AMC by my house, the standard theater, it's not one of those fancy theaters that you find where they deliver food. They've moved into all reclining chairs. I can't find a theater.
That doesn't have them?
No, unless I go back to South Dakota where I go to school. So then I find it.
A listener just... Ooh, I am loud. Well, a listener just called in to let us know that at the end of the summer, McHenry does do old movies.
Oh. Shut the front door. Thank you, listener who didn't leave your name. I love that. I'm going to jump online and figure that out.
I was
out.
Just looking it up, but their website's not working.
Oh, so. Well, look at their Facebook. Find their Facebook page, Michael.
I will.
You're the social media intern. here's an interesting comment from a texter about Lava, which I loved. It's the new Pixar short that starts right before Inside Out. 847 texts in Lava, didn't you find it sexist that the male volcano looked like a volcano, but the female looked like a hot chick? In 2015, it seemed disappointing, even a bit disturbing. I see your point, and here's how I'm going to answer that. At the very beginning, when he was singing, he was kind of a volcano, but he was super happy, and he was a little bit less rocky and hard. And as the years went by, he became more volcano-ish because the lava had, hardened. And then when she arose, she was fresh from the sea. So that's kind of where I thought it was. I get it, but it didn't really bother me. And I didn't think she looked like a hot chick. I thought she just looked like a lovely volcano. And that is, in fact, what she is described as a lovely volcano who came from the sea. I don't know. I didn't find it sexist at all. I didn't. Would I have wanted the volcano, the guy volcano, to be a little hotter? I don't know. I didn't really think about it.
It's a strange thing to think about. Did you think a couple weeks ago that you'd be saying that? Did I want the male volcano to be hotter? I mean, it's not really something that crossed your mind a few weeks ago.
I think when I went to journalism school, that is not what I thought I would ever say. 33-year-old man, 847, 33-year-old man, and I teared up at Lava. It was so good, and it made you feel. Yes.
I want to see this short really bad. I mean, I want to see the whole movie, but I really want to see this short.
You should want to see the short. It's really, I'm not kidding.
I got a lot of hours left in the Sunday day.
You do.
I could go.
You do. You could go find it. It is so worthwhile. And the whole movie, as I mentioned, was worthwhile, regardless of having children see. I didn't say the wrong word. I said the actual word, regardless. If you do or don't have children, Inside Out is a great movie. If you have children and you're planning on moving with them, also a good movie for them to see, because change is hard for people. Change is very, very challenging. We are going to change just for a quick second. We got to change stories. We've got disgusting diseases that are on the bottom of your shoe we have to get to. All kinds of different stuff. Keep those drive-in movie memories coming if you want. 312-981-7200. And also your opinions on Inside Out or Pixar. We're going to come back and talk about diseases, because what else is there to talk about at 4:30 in the morning? Anna Stanley and Michael Guerin sitting in with me on WGN. Is they are a beg for forgiveness kind of group.
I can't tell you, you know, watching them as a viewer is entertaining. Working with them is even more entertaining. And they are the same type of people. They are wonderful.
I'm a little
people.
Jelly, not going to lie. Oh, I mean, I'm lucky enough I get to work with Dean here. And then occasionally, and I know he's not on the morning show, Skilling, Tom Skilling.
I haven't met him yet because I leave right before he comes in. I need to stay one
day. I was going to say, don't do that. He's the greatest.
I know.
He actually, I will send you a link and I will repost it on my Facebook page. He has done some of the goofiest things for me when I filled in for Patty. Patty Vasquez, who's on from 11 to 2 Monday through Friday. Whenever I fill in for her, I get him to do crazy things. I filled in once on Dr. Seuss's birthday, and he did a dramatic reading of One Fish, Two Fish, Red Fish, Blue Fish.
His weather forecasts are impressive.
They're like a ride.
But when he's on WGN, which he's on WGN radio all the time.
All the time.
And every time it's hilarious.
He's the best.
It's so wonderful.
He also, do you watch Kimmy Schmidt, Unbreakable Kimmy Schmidt?
Oh my gosh, Unbreakable.
Yeah, he did a dramatic reading of the song lyrics to Pinot Noir.
Oh my.
Mid-sized car.
Maybe I need some rehab, or maybe just need some sleep. I got a sick obsession. I'm seeing it in my dreams.
Alrighty. What you've got might be absolutely disgusting.
This is gross.
It's so super gross. Hannah Stanley, that's how we like to open every segment. It's so super gross. Hannah Stanley sitting in for David Plyer. I've got Michael Guerin, intern to the stars. And by stars, we mean Robin Baumgartner. Baumgartner. Thank you. I went to school with a Baumgartner. Mm. That's why. Yeah. The Duchess in Algonquin just texted in 847.
I know the Duchess.
I heard you can get C. diff on the bottom of your shoe. And yeah, that's what we're talking about. This is so beyond what we need to have on the bottom of our shoe. I have a relative who reads a lot. Mm-hmm. I mean, just passionate reader. And one of his things is he has his foot over his knee, and he kind of rests his hand where he's touching the bottom of his shoe. And it grosses me out just because you're wearing shoes for a reason.
Yeah.
So, and I don't have shoes in my house. You walk in and take your shoes off.
Yeah.
I have a huge pile of shoes by my door. I'll admit it. And if you come to my house, you're going to see it because that's where they live. But I try not to have people walk on my carpet or hardwood or whatever, merely because, ew, I don't know what you stepped in. Here's the problem. Now I do.
Yeah. And you've it is not.
It ain't good, no. Folks. You've stepped in C. diff. If you don't know what C. diff is, it's C. difficile, which is frequently known as C. diff in the medical world. It is not easy to treat. I know a girl who had it. And she was, I mean, it was like 3 months and she was in and out of the hospital. It was really, really bad. It's several strains are resistant to antibiotics. Essentially, it is really bad diarrhea. Really. But I mean, it's not just like day.
Hospitalization,
can't get rid of it. Dehydration, kind of bad stomach, right?
And it's on your shoes.
It can be found on your shoes. And recent research published in the New England Journal of Medicine, so we can trust them, right? Sure. suggests that nearly 500,000 people are infected with C. diff per year, while obviously hospital patients, it does kind of spread like through them, yep. which makes sense, of course. People are already going to be in there infected with it, and then it's going to spread. 35% of cases, however, start elsewhere. And what they're figuring is 40%, by the way, University of Houston found that 40% of doorsteps were contaminated with C. diff, and so were 39% of shoe soles. How does my family member, who will remain nameless, not have C. diff? Maybe he's had it so many times, he just doesn't realize it.
Or he does a lot of now he's Germax.
Maybe. This is what's so interesting. 39% of shoe soles were infected. And if it is on your doorstep, that means your shoe soles picked it up somewhere else and are then depositing it on your doorstep, or your doorstep has been infected with it from another source and it is then depositing it on your shoe soles.
And it's often animal feces and
cross contamination
that's causing this, that you're stepping in.
Poop, people.
Yeah.
We're talking about poop, including birds. Yeah.
And there's a lot of other things that can come from
birds.
You
think nothing's up on your doorstep when you're sleeping? Mm-hmm. We got some squirrels. We got some chipmunks. We got a skunk, perhaps a raccoon. Depending on where you live, there could be a fox or a coyote.
Can I just say something? Quick side note here. Coyote.
Why are you asking for permission? I don't know. Another thing that we've talked about, Michael.
Coyote. I go to school in South Dakota.
Yes.
We are not calling it. They do not call it coyotes there.
What are they called?
They're called coyotes.
Well, of course they
go are. Yotes, because that's the mascot of the school I go to.
Sure.
But the whole state calls them coyotes, and they've never heard of coyote. Like, it's not a thing there. But it would be weird to go yotes. I mean, that sounds weak.
Maybe.
But still, but
no,
the animal.
No, go yotes.
But the
really?
Animal is not called that.
Sounds weak. It's a coyote. It actually hunts down other animals and eats them. There is a school in this country, not far away, okay, two states away, called the Zips.
Oh.
Thank you. All right. So yotes wouldn't be a big deal at all.
But the animal is called this anyway.
Yeah. So this is something that you know what? You can do whatever you want. You can wear your shoes through your house, but then I wouldn't lick your carpet.
Do you normally lick your carpet?
No. But you know what? Here's what happens. You walk around with your shoes, and then you drop something, and you think, 5-second rule. Uh-huh. But now you don't realize that C. diff is on that Oreo that now you're putting in your mouth.
People are going to want to shampoo their carpets, clean their floors really heavily.
You know what I'm going to do is I'm going to put like Clorox wipes at my door, and then I'm going to wipe the bottom of my shoe, and then while I'm wearing a glove, and then deposit it into a trash can, and then I might set fire to my shoe, and then I think I'll just throw the shoe away.
And it's even worse when you have all these people, like you had a 4th of July get together, you said today. Do you think
people take their shoes off?
They do. Okay, good.
They do.
That's good.
I'm also moving out of this house in about 10 days. So the chances of getting C. diff in this house are like, I'll just leave it for the next person. No, but this is really interesting because I always figured there was stuff on the bottom of your shoe because you're stepping in someone's gum, right? Yeah. Ew. And then whatever else would be on a sidewalk or on a train or any of those places. You know, my kids go to the park and they pick up the mulch and I just kind of want to gag a little bit. And then we come home and I give them a Silkwood shower and everybody's, you know, clean again. And I'm not even that crazy, right? With the first baby, you're nuts.
Okay.
You walk around with like Clorox anywhere and you spray things. And second kid, you're like, yeah, okay, whatever. It'll be fine. You can put that pacifier back in your mouth. But I have always been conscientious about people's shoes and walking on carpet. And partly because when you do have, although I didn't wear my shoes on my carpet before I had kids, but once they're crawling around, because they do sometimes land mouth first onto the floor.
Well, and a lot of carpeting is pretty noticeable if it's dirty as well.
Yeah.
Which is...
But that begs the question, why aren't more kids coming down with C. diff?
Yeah. This study's interesting, but it's... Does it explain why there's a lot of C. diff? I mean, but C. diff is... I've always heard C. diff is primarily spread through hospitals, through medical...
Well,
so that's where...
And you're right. It is 65... percent of the cases, 35%, however, come from somewhere else. But if we're dealing with half a million people each year with C. diff, I have to tell you, half a million people is, you know, that's pretty, like, somebody knows somebody, right? Yeah. And, but I feel like more people should be catching it. It's on our shoes. 847 just says, does Hannah make the cable guy, et cetera, take off of his shoes? Yeah, I do. And actually, most of the work people who come to the house, they either ask or they have little, like,
the
booties.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's, I mean, I don't even need to. They walk in and they see the shoes and they just, like, put the booties on.
I used to work at a fitness center and there's pools. And we would not be able to, obviously, walk on the pool deck without covering our shoes up. And now, I was always, you know, just make sure you have clean shoes. But now, could you imagine if that would have gotten in the water?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I mean, probably the chlorine would kill it. But I don't know. It's just a thought of that.
A15 just texted in, and thank you for that, to 312-981-7200. The texter writes, I worked for a dairy a dairy producer in the 1980s, and there was a salmonella outbreak. We had to step in a pan of bleach water coming into the plant.
What?
Guess what I'm going to have at the house?
It's bleach water. Maybe not even bleach water, just bleach, straight bleach. Like, welcome to my house.
I don't want the dog to get into it. Yeah, I mean, let's not be silly. That's interesting when there is an outbreak of something like that, how very cautious people can be. I think it's gross, right? Obviously, I don't want C. diff. I've known somebody who's been infected with it and it was really, really severe. It can be resistant to antibiotics, as we've mentioned, but the numbers aren't making sense to me because university,
but these are two competing, or not competing, but they're two separate entities that did this research.
Right. So University of Houston found that 40% of your doorsteps were contaminated with C. diff and 39% of your shoe soles, which is, that matches up almost one-to-one, and that makes sense. Your shoes are going to be on your doorstep. But 40% of the world, or of America, let's say, America, that's more than half a million people who then get infected with C. diff. So now we go to that higher level question, why the heck isn't everybody catching it? Are some people just, I wonder if you become kind of immune to it.
And you know, these people at the CDC, especially, have to track down how these diseases spread. It has to be a fascinating career to be able to try to track this movement.
I'm calling the CDC tomorrow and I'm going to ask them why this doesn't match up in my head. Because 40% of the population is more than half a million people.
Yeah.
40% of the Chicagoland population is more than half a million
people. And it could be a sample set. Maybe it's something in the area of Houston that people are stepping in.
They have animals down there that we don't have as frequently.
I wasn't going to bring it up, but we saw someone walking down the street.
Oh, yeah, okay. No, we get, all right. That is its own segment.
Relates to this.
This is going to relate to this. What we saw on Michigan Avenue just a moment ago, and people, you want to hear this.
This is
Hannah Stanley, Michael Guerin sitting in. We're going to get to that in just a minute on WGN. Did you see my post about this?
Yes.
Okay. I'm like, wow, we are so like-minded.
We talked about it last week.
Oh, we did. Hannah Stanley, we're live. I forgot for a second there. Michael Guerin has been sitting in with me this entire show. He is the intern. Wait, let it play. Right? Uh-huh. That's all I'm saying.
Yeah.
Okay. It was, in fact, Saturday in the park for many people, and it was, in fact, the 4th of July. Thank you, Chicago.
Wow.
The band.
Wow.
And
all
the city.
All the things coming together there.
So complex.
Yeah.
All right. We were getting several texts about our conversation involving C. diff.
Yeah.
Being present, the bacteria that causes it, right? Bacteria, yes. Not a virus. It's bacteria. On your doorstep, and then at about the same percentage, 40% on your doorstep, it was found in 40% of doorsteps, 39% of shoe soles. Which makes sense. I can get the plus or minus 1%. That's an obvious thing. But C. diff is an intestinal issue. as my daughter would say. 708 texts in, C. diff is awful. I had it for 3 months while pregnant. Good Lord, you poor woman.
Oh my.
I lost 25 pounds in 1 month. It's not funny at all. I wish people knew about it. Please talk about it again rather than at the tail end of the program. You bet I will. Elizabeth and LaGrange, thank you for listening and for texting in. And you're right. The person I knew had it for about 3 months. And actually is related to a coworker here, and it was really bad. And that's how I first heard about it. Yeah. It does sound horrible, but it really does make me wonder. And I'm not kidding. I'm not going to call them tomorrow, but I will call the CDC and get more information. And we'll get a guest on regarding this, because this is a fascinating thing.
It is.
847, because with my question about how it can be on 40% of the homes, but only have about 500,000 people infected each year, 847 speculates maybe you have to have compromised immunity to actually contract it. And that's a possibility. You could be able to fight it better than other people. But all the more reason, especially if you have someone who's fighting another disease or is immune compromised because of a cancer or something along those lines, to even be far more cautious. So, Michael, you've been sitting in with me for the past several hours, almost 3 hours, and we have seen a variety of people and spectacles and activities
along this beautiful view outside
it is
of Michigan
and
Avenue.
And you're starting to see the sky lighten.
It's bizarre.
It's gorgeous. Yeah. It's gorgeous. And you and I are both going to drive home west, not together, but separately, kind of at spurs. And it's very interesting to have the sun chase you home.
Okay. I'm normally the reverse.
Yes, you are normally the reverse going into the morning show on WGN TV. What's very interesting is the variety of hairstyles we've seen, which have gone from haven't been combed ever to very proper and fluffy and prim, primped. Yeah. Tie-dye.
A lot of tie-dye.
From black to tie-dye, right? We've a variety of the color spectrum, primary, secondary, tertiary colors. We've seen people of
a lot of banging on the window,
a lot of banging,
which is
on
weird.
The
I didn't know that I could hear
do that. Sure. It's only bulletproof inspired.
My grandmother doesn't want to hear that.
No, you're
well,
totally.
I only got a few minutes left.
You're safe-ish. Don't worry. The oddest thing we saw occurred.
Now, is this
8 to 10 minutes ago.
This is not what you would normally see. Have you ever seen something like this?
Never.
Okay. All right. I'm glad I was here to experience it.
No. And Rachel, who has been here a variety of hours, much like I have, I've worked. If you do a 24-hour clock, I've worked. I mean, on some day, I haven't worked every shift on this station during a week because some of it's very specialized. Mm-hmm. That darned Lou. But I've worked 24 hours, the whole 24 hour on a particular day. And no, never, never. And Rachel's done the same thing where she's done mornings and evenings and overnights. And you've never seen what we just saw.
No, I came over the loudspeaker and asked you guys if I was going crazy.
Yeah, that was.
You did see. I couldn't tell if you just heard us talking about it or you.
No,
saw
she
it.
Can't hear.
I was watching hear it.
There. There was a couple who looked to be unaltered. Like, they didn't look drunk.
No.
They didn't look...
very calmly walking.
Calmly strolling.
Barefoot
in hotel bathrobes.
Yeah. Clearly just went down the elevator, walked outside
Pioneer Court
and walked
in
past...
their hotel-provided waffle robes.
Yeah. And barefoot.
Barefoot. Were they not listening to the C. diff conversation?
Not only that, I mean, would you, even if I didn't know C. diff was on the ground, would I walk around the streets of Chicago?
I mean,
Chicago's fairly clean.
Anywhere from gum to broken glass.
Yeah.
Those are kind of, that's spanning what I would be concerned about.
And the bathrobe, too.
Here's the thing. I mean, they could have had other clothes
underneath.
Yeah, we
couldn't see.
They could have had shorts and a T-shirt.
Okay.
Mm-hmm. Did they?
I saw they both had T-shirts on.
Maybe pets. There's cameras outside.
And I this saw is them all come for this way.
Some TV show. Prank TV show. This is when I...
No.
You can talk to these people, to the people passing by. This is when we...
I can.
Wish
we really should have. There's other people walking by right now. We really should have maybe addressed them. And
yeah.
They should have been dressed more is part of the problem. Oh. But we should have. So if that couple happens to be listening, please come back and explain to us why you were wearing bathrobes outside at 4. What was it, like 4:45? Because it was during the news. It was free, commercial break.
Free spirited people.
But that's the thing. This is the weekend of free spirited people.
And that actually was.
They did not look like people who were at the Grateful Dead concert.
No, they looked like they were having a nice weekend in Chicago in a hotel. Not for the... But
what hotel?
I'm guessing it was right next door, right? To the Intercontinental?
Or there's the Sheraton across, but they would have to cross
the Sheraton.
So
would have...
they
would
lap?
Have... I don't know. Maybe they would have... Is there a back door? Yeah, you can get out a back, like a side door, but then you have to cross over on the street right there to walk behind the Trib Tower. Okay, for those who are not familiar with the area, I apologize. This is a little bit too inside. Maybe perhaps I'll whiteboard this and then I'll put it up on... on my Facebook page. By the way, I'm like 7 fan likes away from 700.
Oh,
so
wow.
Can
Everyone
we fix that, people?
That.
WGN Girls Night Out with Hannah Stanley. That'd be super duper. We've got like 4 minutes left. So I don't know why that wasn't mentioned earlier.
Yeah.
Hey, I'm on, and the Blackhawks are now over. I don't know if you're aware of that.
They are?
The Blackhawks
won. Well, they're not. Well, they were still on last.
They were
last
on. They
night.
Were on. Yeah, because I Very didn't. Get, I didn't get to do my new show because we played the three championship games,
which is very cool. That was some, that was
really,
really cool for WGN.
Really,
to do that.
Really cool.
Whoa.
Super, super okay. fun. A guy almost rode a bike,
bike
into the roof.
What is happening?
Holy
it's God. 4 a.m.
I don't know. It's almost 5. These people are out bike riding early. So so Saturday night, I will be on again from 7 to 9, which is WGN Girls Night Out with Hannah Stanley. And in the next 2 weeks, I will be bringing you, and I believe it's going to be this coming weekend, it might be the following, a really, really special program. And I've not discussed it up until this point, and I'm going to discuss it now. It is a Barn Dance tribute show.
How exciting.
I'm so super excited. Barn Dance is the program that inspired the Grand Ole Opry, which lives on to this day. It started on a different radio station, and when that station changed formats, Orion Samuelson himself went into the program director's office, Ward Qual, who I knew as a child, and said, we've got to save it. We've got to bring it over here. And we did. We, as if I had anything to do with it. It was before I was even born. But in the 60s, it did come to WGN. So it's going to be either this weekend, this coming Saturday, or the following Saturday. But I will bring you a Barn Dance tribute complete with interviews with Orion Samuelson. He's going to be doing the announcing for me. I couldn't possibly be more excited. I've been working really hard on it. And
that is a great idea, Hannah.
Thank you so very much, Dave Schwann. For the love of Dave Schwann.
Good morning. Good morning, you guys.
Good morning. Do you have a little allergies or cold? You sound
a little
congested.
Stuffy. Yeah, a little bit of stuffiness, I guess. Just this hour of the morning.
Yeah, I was going to say, try to work that out before Dean comes in.
I'll try. But
yeah.
No, you know, you mentioned Barn Dance. I couldn't help but jump in for just a second.
Please do.
I have memories also of that being on TV. Channel
yes.
9
yes.
had a Barn Dance on Saturday night.
Yes, and you know what? I spoke with Orion, and I'm going to do an interview with him regarding that as well. But they used to, they would do the TV broadcast, and then they would be done. They would wrap that, and then they would, I think they would take like a 20 or 30 minute break, clear that audience out, and then load in a completely different audience and do it
all
over
again.
Is
that right? Wow.
Yeah, much like they still do the Grand Ole Opry.
Mm-hmm.
And that's still covered on television. One of the broadcasts or a portion of it is covered on television in many markets. But I'm not aware of any here in the Chicago area.
No, I can't
area.
Think of any offhand.
But I grew up with stories, you know, I've mentioned it. My grandfather worked for WGN radio and television, and my dad did when he was in college. He
right.
was a part-timer.
Right.
And so they both, I grew up with stories of what Barn Dance meant to the city and the country and memories of my grandparents and my dad and my mom listening to it. And so it occurred to me, gosh darn it, we should do a Barn Dance tribute show.
Why not?
Yeah, I'm
You're
super.
You're going to have a good response for it, too.
I hope so.
A lot of people remember that.
I hope so. 847 just texts in, the couple is getting ready for tonight's Grateful Dead show. They just got back from a late night drive-in. The C. diff will be eradicated by the smoke at tonight's show. It's all good.
That's a good wrap-up of the whole show.
Pretty much. I appreciate whoever listened to every last gosh darn moment.